A logo appears in bold, slanting letters over a green planet in space. Turner. In a black and white film, a shield appears inscribed with the capital letters WB. Warner Brothers Pictures Incorporated presents Bette Davis as Maggie Cutler, Ann Sheridan as Lorraine Sheldon, and Monty Woolley as Sheridan Whiteside in The Man Who Came to Dinner. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Samantha Manahan. Read by Margo Stage. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. Titles appear. Executive Producer, Hal B. Wallace. Screenplay by Julius J. and Philip G. Epstein. From the stage play by George S. Kaufman and Moss Hart. Produced by Sam H. Harris. Music by Frederick Hollander. Musical Director, Leo F. Forbstein. Copyright 1941 by Warner Brothers Pictures Incorporated. Directed by William Kiley. Now at a train station, a dapper couple passes a sign for a lecture by author and critic Sheridan Whiteside.
To think that this great man is coming to our house for dinner. Ernest, aren't you thrilled?
Well, that depends. What are we having for dinner?
Ernest.
I'll tell you one thing. If he's going to shave at our house, he's not going to use my razor.
Hush, Ernest. Somebody will hear you. Hello, Lonnie. Mr. Whiteside's beard is what makes him so distinguished.
It is, huh? Well, you just hide my razor for 3 days. Maybe I'll look distinguished enough to get $1,500 a lecture, too.
Haven't you a bit of culture in you? Haven't you any respect for this first man of American letters?
He may be the first man of American letters, but don't forget, I rate pretty high in ball bearings. At least I'm a defense industry.
Ernest, I'm so excited.
A train pulls up. Inside, a silver-bearded man sits across from a pretty woman in a sophisticated suit and fur coat.
I simply will not sit down to dinner with Midwestern barbarians. I think too highly of my digestive system.
But Harry Clark is one of your oldest friends.
My stomach is an older one.
And Mrs. Stanley is president of the Women's Club.
I wouldn't care if she was the whole cabinet.
And it's important to Harry's future lecture bookings. You can't let him down.
They gaze out the window.
Ernest, there he is.
That's probably Mrs. Stanley.
Oh, I won't budge.
Come on, baby kid.
He looks just like his picture, doesn't he?
Oh. You know, Sherry, you have one great advantage over everyone else in the world. You've never had to meet Sheridan Whiteside.
They disembark into a crowd.
I have your autograph.
Stand back, please. Don't come too close. I have several contagious diseases. Maggie, my dear, will you run interference for me?
Would you please step back? Mr. Whiteside is in a great rush.
They meet the dapper couple.
Oh, dear, Mr. Whiteside. I'm Mrs. Ernest Stanley, and this is Mr. Stanley. You are coming to dinner, aren't you?
Oh, mais non, madame. Je ne peux pas. Je suis tellement fatigué, n'est-ce pas? No,
Mrs. Stanley, Mr. Whiteside is having his little joke. He'd be delighted to come to dinner.
Oh, how nice of you.
I'm Miss Cutler, Mr. Whiteside's secretary.
Oh, and you will come too, of course.
Thank you.
Mr. Whiteside, this is simply wonderful. Did you have a pleasant trip?
Charming. I killed a woman in the next compartment. She asked me to lunch.
Behind them, a jaunty man wearing a camel hair overcoat and a fedora jogs onto the crowded platform and glances around.
Oh, have you ladies seen Mr. Whiteside?
Yes, Mr. Stanley's car.
Oh, thanks a lot. Be sure that goes to the Mansion House.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry I'm late, Mr. Whiteside. I'm Jefferson of the Massalia Journal. Mind if I ask you a few questions?
Mind if I ask you one?
Of course not.
Have you got a dollar?
Why, sure.
Whiteside hands the dollar to a grinning porter.
Thank you. Hope it's not counterfeit.
Thank you, sir.
Drive on!
Whiteside climbs into the Stanley's black limousine. Watching the car pull away, Jefferson smiles and sinks his hands into his overcoat pockets. Later, the limousine rolls down a quiet, snow-covered street and stops in front of an elegant townhouse. The chauffeur hops out and opens the back door for Mr. Stanley.
Well, here we are.
Of course, Massalia isn't a big town, Mr. Whiteside, but it's simply filled with culture. The night you lecture, everyone stays home, except if Errol Flynn is playing, of course. And Massalia has many points of interest. There's a crystal cave. That's just a short drive from here.
And the petrified animals.
Are they coming to dinner, too?
Whiteside slips on the front steps and tumbles down to the sidewalk.
No, 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 no,
help me! Oh, Maggie!
Mr. Stanley, his butler, and the chauffeur carry Whiteside inside. Now, fingers pound the keys of a telegraph machine, and a typed message rolls out on a thin tape. Massalia, Ohio, November 26th. Sheridan Whiteside, famous author, injured in fall on ice at the home of Ernest W. Stanley. Now in a bustling newspaper office, a messenger hands a slick-haired reporter a telegraph.
Hey, Sheridan Whiteside fell on his pride. Give me 500 words on that, will you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Miss Barrymore, I'll see that he gets your message.
Outside the opera house, a poster announces Sheridan Whiteside lecture canceled. Meanwhile, the portly Dr. E. Bradley leaves his office and a radio announcer reads copy.
But it is hoped that Mr. Whiteside will be able to resume his broadcasts on Christmas Eve. And now, a word to those who have athlete's foot.
I think the doctor said in about a week. Yes, he's still confined to his room.
John, the butler, answers the door.
Thanks for Mr. Whiteside. Telegrams for Sheridan Whiteside. Was for Mr. Whiteside. Wheelchair for Mr. Whiteside.
Cradling an armload of packages, John gapes. Later, Mrs. Stanley, a slight woman with dainty features and curled hair, reads a magazine.
The idol of the airway rests until further notice at the home of surprise Mr. and Mrs. Stanley of Mazena, Ohio. Possibility Christmas may be postponed this year.
Oh. A nurse dashes out of the library.
How is he? Is he coming out?
Oh. I'll go, Mother.
Oh, all right, Richard. What's the matter? What is it, John?
They want pillows.
They want pillows.
The nurse scurries back.
Anything I can do, Miss Breen?
Oh, thank you.
No.
Take your fish hooks off me.
Oh.
Two more packages and more telegrams. Dad's going crazy upstairs with that bell ringing all the time.
Oh, dear. Will you answer it, darling? What did you say, Richard?
One's from San Francisco and one's from New York.
Oh, there was something from Alaska this morning. A baby seal, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm. Like a broken down truck horse.
I'll get them right away. He wants some Metropolitan Club cigarettes.
Metropolitan Club?
Well, they have them at Kitchener's. I'll go down and get some.
Here you are, Miss Breen. Here are the pillows.
Thank you.
Tell me, Miss Breen, are they bringing him out soon?
We're getting him out of bed now. He'll be out very soon.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Doesn't that bird brain of yours ever function?
He must be very happy.
2 o'clock? Yes, I'm sure he could talk then. All right. Mother, who do you suppose that was? Winston Churchill from London.
Winston Churchill on our telephone.
I'll be upstairs if you want me, Mother.
What? Oh, yes. June, tell your father he better come down. Mr. Whiteside's coming out.
Yes, Mother, you will call me, won't you?
Of course, darling.
Mr. Whiteside is coming out.
Daisy, I can't wait any longer.
Ernest, he's coming out any minute. And Winston Churchill was on the telephone. And we're in all the national news magazines. Look, the idol of the airways rests until further notice in the home of surprise Mr. and Mrs. Stanley of Missalia, Ohio. Possibility Christmas may be postponed this year. What does that mean?
Well, I'm sure it's a great honor, Daisy, but I don't like this kind of publicity at all. It's a little upsetting. Phones ringing all the time, bells ringing, messenger boys running in and out.
Like a rat in this cheese box.
I beg your pardon, Mrs. Stanley. The cigarettes come yet?
They're on their way, Miss Cutler. My son went for them.
Do you mind if I move this chair?
You mean he's coming out now?
He is indeed.
Oh, June! June! Mr. Whiteside's coming out! Sarah, bring me a glass of the cow's foot jelly I made for Mr. Whiteside. Oh, I'm so excited, I just don't know what to do.
Oh, me too.
No, thank you, Sarah.
She takes jam from a maid.
Good morning, Dr. Bradley.
Good morning. Well, here we are, merry and bright, bringing our little patient, Miss Breen.
The nurse wheels the stern-faced Whiteside into the living room, where his secretary sits at a desk. On the stairs, June beams, while her father, bald and barrel-chested, shores a smile. Beside him, his wife holds a jar of jam.
Good morning, Mr. Whiteside. I'm Mrs. Ernest Stanley. Remember? And this is my husband.
How do you, Mr. Whiteside? I hope you're better.
Thank you. I am suing you for $150,000.
How's that? What?
I said that I am suing you for $150,000.
You mean because you fell on our steps, Mr. Whiteside?
Thomas E. Dewey will explain it to you in court. Why are you standing there like the kiss of death?
She drops the jar.
Oh, my gosh, what jelly.
Made from your own foot, I have no doubt.
Oh.
And now, Mrs. Stanley, there are a few small matters to take up with you. Since this corner druggist at my elbow tells me that I shall be confined to this moldy mortuary for at least another 10 days, due entirely to your stupidity and negligence, I shall have to carry on my activities as best I can. I shall require the exclusive use of this room, as well as that drafty sewer which you call the library. I want no one to come in or out while I am in this room.
What do you mean, sir?
But we have to go up those stairs to get to our rooms, Mr. Whiteside.
Isn't there a back entrance?
Yes.
Well, then use that.
The Stanleys gape at each other.
I shall also require a room for my secretary, Miss Cutler. Let me see, there'll be a great many incoming and outgoing calls, so please do not use the telephone. I sleep until noon and must have quiet throughout the house until that hour. There'll be 5 for lunch today. Where's the cook?
Mr. Whiteside, if I may interrupt.
You may not, sir.
The nurse fixes his pillow.
Take your clammy hand off my chair. You have the touch of a love-starved cobra. And now will you all leave quietly, or must I ask Miss Cutler to pass among you with a baseball bat?
Now look here, Mr. Whiteside.
There is nothing to discuss, sir. Considering the damage that I've suffered at your hands, I'm asking very little. Good day.
Mr. Stanley pumps his lips wordlessly.
I'll call you from the office later, Daisy.
Not on this phone, please.
Glowering, Mr. Stanley leaves.
Here is the menu for lunch.
But I've ordered lunch.
It'll be set up to you on a tray. I am using the dining room for my guests. Where are those cigarettes?
Why, my son went to get them. I don't know why. Here, Sarah, here's the menu for lunch. I'll have mine on a tray upstairs.
Yes, ma'am.
He spots June.
Young lady, I cannot stand indecision. Will you either go up those stairs or come down them?
She reluctantly goes upstairs. Richard returns with the cigarettes.
Oh, good morning. I'm sorry I'm so late. I had to go to three different stores.
How did you travel? By ox cart?
Richard.
Miss Preen tucks a blanket around Whiteside's legs.
Is there a man in the world who suffers as I do from the gross inadequacies of the human race? Where are you going? Keep those canal boats away from me. Go in and read The Life of Florence Nightingale and learn how unfitted you are for your chosen profession.
She rushes out, leaving him with the doctor.
Well, I think I can safely leave you in Miss Cutler's capable hands. Shall I look in again this afternoon?
If you do, I shall spit right in your eye.
What a sense of humor you writers have. Oh, by the way, it's really not worth mentioning, but I've been doing a little writing myself about my medical experiences.
Am I to be spared nothing?
Would it be too much to ask you to glance over it while you're here? Trapped.
The doctor opens his leather bag.
Well, I just happen to have a copy of it with me. 40 years in Ohio, doctor. The story of a humble practitioner.
I shall drop everything.
I'm much obliged. I hope you like it. Well, I'll see you on tomorrow. Keep that hip quiet, and don't forget those little pills.
He leaves.
Maggie, will you take 40 years at Ohio Butcher, or whatever it's called?
I must say, Sherry, you have certainly behaved with your accustomed grace and charm.
Now look here, puss, I'm in no mood to discuss my behavior, good or bad. I didn't wish to cross this cheerless threshold. I was hounded and badgered into it. Now I find myself, after 2 weeks of racking pain, accused of behaving without charm. What would you have me do, kiss them?
Very well, Sherry. After 10 years, I should know better than to try and improve your manners.
She lights his cigarette.
But when I finally leave this job, I may write a book about it. Through the Years with Prince Charming.
She drops memos in his lap.
Listen, Repulsive, if we may dismiss the subject of my charm, for which, incidentally, I receive $1,500 per appearance, possibly we can get to work. Oh, no, we can't.
A mousy woman peeks around the corner. She wears a black fur-collared coat and a matching hat with a bow on top. Fluttering her eyelids, she carries a bouquet of holly over.
My name is Harriet Stanley. I know you are Sheridan Whiteside. I saw this holly framed green against the pine trees. I remembered what you'd written about Tess and Jude the Obscure. It was the nicest present I could bring you.
She lays the bouquet in his lap, trots halfway up the stairs, then pauses to stare reverently at Whiteside. Over his shoulder, he watches her shyly look away and scurry upstairs.
And what, may I ask, was that?
That was Mr. Stanley's sister, Harriet. I've talked to her a few times. She's quite strange.
Strange? She's right out of the Hound of the Baskervilles. You know, I've seen that face before somewhere.
Nonsense, Sherry. You couldn't have.
Ah, well, let's get to work. Here, press this in the doctor's book. Did you put through that call to Mrs. Roosevelt?
Yes, I called her in Portland, but she'd already left for San Diego.
We'll try her tomorrow in Phoenix. Now, let me see. Send a wire to the editor of the Atlantic Monthly. Do not worry, Stinky. Copy will arrive on time. Whiteside. Ah, send a cable to the Duchess of Windsor. Dear Wally, can you and David meet me in Miami on February 20th? Dinner 8:30, Whiteside.
He frowns at a memo.
I see no reason why I should endorse snug-fit brassiere.
Puffing his smoke, he tosses the memo aside.
What date's this?
December 10th.
Send a wire to American Broadcasting. You can schedule my Christmas Eve broadcast from your New York studio as I shall return east instead of proceeding to Hollywood. Stop.
For special New Year's Eve broadcast, we'll have as my guests Yasha Heifetz, Helen Hayes, Schiaparelli, the Lunts, Dr. Alexis Carrel, with Haile Selassie on shortwave from Addis Ababa, Whiteside.
Miss Preen enters.
Well, what do you want now, Miss Stomach Pump?
It's your pills, one every 45 minutes.
She hurries out.
Thermometer puss. If that's for Mrs. Stanley, tell them she's too drunk to talk.
Hello. Yes?
What? Palm Beach. Oh, just a moment. It's that dear friend of yours, Miss Lorraine Sheldon.
Oh, give it to me. Hello? Is this my blossom girl?
Sherry, you poor, sweet darling, are you all right? I haven't been able to think of anything else since this awful thing happened, you poor lamb. Out, you fool!
Sorry, madame.
No, that was Cosette.
Her manicurist.
Darling, how you must have suffered. I know. Me? Oh, I'm wretched. I can't find a play, Sherry, dear. I just don't think I'll ever act again.
Tell me, Blossom, what made you take your white body to Palm Beach? Who's holding you captive?
Oh, Lord Bottomley's in from London. Some mission or other. Now, look, darling, take care of that sweet little hip, will you? And here's a big kiss from your Blossom girl. Mm-hmm. Ouch!
Sorry, madame.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, my Lotus Blossom.
My Lotus Blossom. Little Miss Stinkweed.
Pure jealousy if I ever saw it. Give me those wires.
Lorraine Sheldon, Lord Bottomley, my Aunt Fanny.
If these people intend to have their friends using the front door...
What do you expect them to use, a rope ladder?
I will not have a lot of itinerant firemen rushing in and out of this house.
Good morning, Mr. Jefferson.
Morning, John. Mr. Whiteside in?
Yes, sir.
There's nobody home. The Stanleys have been arrested for peddling dope. Go away.
Good morning. I'm Jefferson of the Massalia Journal. Remember, I met you at the station.
Oh, get rid of him, Maggie.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jefferson. Mr. Whiteside is seeing no one today.
Really?
So will you please excuse us?
Mr. Whiteside seems to be sitting up and taking notice.
I'm afraid he's not taking notice of the Massalia Journal.
You know, if I'm going to be insulted, I'd like it to be by Mr. Whiteside himself. I never did like carbon copies.
Oh, touche if I ever heard one. And in Massalia, too, Maggie, dear.
Will you please leave?
How about an interview, Mr. Whiteside?
I never give them. Go away.
Mr. Whiteside, if I don't get this interview, I lose my job.
Well, that'll be quite all right with me.
You don't mean that, Mr. Whiteside. You used to be a newspaper man yourself. You know what editors are like. Well, mine's the toughest one that ever lived.
You won't get around me that way. If you don't like him, get off the paper.
Yes, but I happen to think it's a good paper. William Allen White could have got out of Emporia, but he didn't.
You have the effrontery in my presence to compare yourself with William Allen White?
Only in the sense that White stayed in Emporia. And I'd like to stay here and say what I want to say.
Such as what?
Well, I can't put it into words, Mr. Whiteside. It'd sound like an awful lot of hooey. But the Journal was my father's paper. It's kind of a sentimental point with me, the paper. I'd like to carry on where he left off.
So you own this paper?
That's right.
This terrifying editor, this dread journalistic Armageddon, is you yourself?
In a word, yes.
I see.
Maggie picks up some packages.
Sherry, the next time you do not want to see anybody, just let me know and I'll usher them right in.
She leaves.
Young man, come over here. I suppose you have written that great American novel.
No, I've written that great American play.
Well, I don't want to read it. Do these old eyes of mine see a box of goodies over there? Hand it to me, will you?
The trouble is, Mr. Whiteside, that your being in this town comes under the heading of news, so I just got to get a story.
Pecan butternut fudge.
Oh, my, you mustn't eat candy, Mr. Whiteside. It's very bad for you.
My great aunt Jennifer ate a whole box of candy every day of her life. She lived to be 102, and when she'd been dead 3 days, she looked better than you do now.
Miss Preen gapes and scuttles off.
Well, now she wonders your pretty way. Have a piece of candy?
Thanks.
I'll grant you a 1-minute interview. What do you want to know?
How do you think the Ohio women stack up against, let's
well,
say...
Well, I've never gone in for stacking up women, so I really can't say.
Well, and what do you think of Massalia? How long are you going to be here? Where are you going? Things like that.
Oh, very well. A. Massalia is a town of irresistible charm. B. I cannot wait to get out of it. And C. I'm going from here to Crockfield for my semi-annual visit to the Crockfield Home for Paroled Convicts, for which I have raised over $500,000 the past 5 years.
Filched from the pockets of an all too gullible and long-suffering public.
Will you sign here?
This aging debutante, Mr. Jefferson, I retain in my employ only because she is the sole support of her two-headed brother.
He glances up at her smirk and signs.
Thank you.
Do you play gin rummy?
I sure do.
Fine. How much can you afford to lose?
I generally win.
We won't discuss that. Come back at 8:30. We'll play three-handed with Elsie Dinsmore.
By the way, you owe me $1.
What's that? What for?
At the station, the dollar you board. You pay a healthier income tax than I do. Give.
Maggie, make out a check for this miserable money changer.
Make the check out to Bertram H.
Ah, that must be my luncheon guests.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, just a few murderers from the Crockfield home at the state penitentiary.
You see, Mr. Jefferson, the fact that Mr. Whiteside happens to be the nation's foremost authority on murders and murder trials forms a bond between them.
By the way, Jefferson, how about staying for lunch?
Oh, glad to.
That'll cost you $1.
He takes the check.
Deliver me one more, please, Maggie.
An armed guard enters.
Mr. Whiteside at home?
Yeah, we're here for lunch.
Four shackled convicts follow him inside.
Ah, come right in, gentlemen.
Mrs. Stanley sneaks downstairs.
You're Mr. Whiteside?
That's right.
Line up, good boy.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right.
Jefferson, these lads have formed a Sheraton Whiteside Club at the state penitentiary. They listen to every one of my broadcasts. I arranged with the warden to have them come here today for luncheon. Your Michael Rancho did the drainpipe murders?
Yes, sir.
Thought I recognized you. The one on this end, Jefferson, is Haggerty, the hatchet fiend. Always chopped them up in a salad bowl, remember?
How do you do?
How are you?
Lunch is ready, Mr. Whiteside.
Good, we'll go right in.
Can I help you?
Yes, thank you. Gentlemen, after you.
All right, boys.
We're having chicken devas tipplicini and cherries jubilee for dessert.
What, no salad bowl, Mr. Whiteside?
No, Haggerty. I do not wish to place temptation in your path. I hope every little tummy is aflutter with gastric juices. Close the doors, John. We don't want a lot of people prying on their betters.
Yes, sir.
Outside, Mr. Stanley watches deliverymen unload a wooden crate the size of a bathtub.
Hello, Mr. Stanley. Will you sign for this?
Well, what is it?
We're not quite sure. It's from Mr. Whiteside, from a William Beebe.
William Beebe? Why, he's the great naturalist.
He peeks in a crate window and gapes at a giant octopus.
Good heavens, it's an octopus.
That's it. I knew there was a puss in the name somewhere.
Whiteside meets with Chinese men.
When you return to the University of Canton, I want you to take a message for me to Professor Chung Wong Lu. We went to Hamilton together.
Mr. Whiteside!
Mr. Stanley bursts inside. His bulging eyes scan Whiteside's crisply suited guests, who rise and bow politely.
Sit down, gentlemen. This isn't anybody.
There's an octopus at the door.
Good, bring him in. Now I'll have somebody intelligent to talk to in the evening.
Mr. Whiteside, I warn you, I will not have that monster in my house.
Well, there's always a motel for you and Mrs. Stanley if you're finicky.
Right in here.
The deliverymen bring in the octopus.
A little playmate for you, Mr. Whiteside.
Good! Put it right down here.
He peeks in the window.
My, what a charming little creature. Mr. Stanley, what's your first name?
Ernest? Why?
Boys, take Ernest down to the basement, will you please?
What? Mr. Whiteside, there is a limit. I warn you, I'm a patient man.
But... Dinner is served, Mr. Whiteside.
Take it.
Upstairs.
Where's that bicarbonate of soda?
He opens the bathroom door and finds two Chinese men washing their hands. They smile and bow. Clenching his lips, Mr. Stanley closes the door.
Daisy, this is the end. I've stood all I'm going to stand. Where's that telephone bill?
Now, Ernest, please, listen to me, Ernest.
Downstairs, Whiteside dines with his guests.
John, tell Sarah the lobster Newberg is absolutely superb.
Yes, Mr. Whiteside. Thank you.
Mr. Whiteside, I want to talk to you. I stood all I'm going to stand.
Ignore the interruption.
For the past 10 days, we haven't been able to call our souls our own. We haven't had a meal in this dining room once. I came home last week and found convicts sitting at my dinner table. Drainpipe murderers. And now...
Now, Ernest...
Please. I go into my bathroom and bump into two more. I tell you, I won't stand for it no matter who you are.
Have you quite finished?
No, sir, I have not. This bill from the telephone company for $784. Oklahoma City, Rome, Calcutta, Hollywood, Buenos Aires, New York, New York, New York, New York, New York.
But Andy...
Leave me alone. Mr. Whiteside, I want you to leave this house as soon as you can and go to a hotel. Stop pawing me, Daisy. That's all I have to say to you, Mr. Whiteside.
And quite enough, I should say. If you insist upon my leaving this house, thereby causing me to suffer a relapse, I shall sue you for every additional day that I am held inactive, which will amount, I assure you, to a tidy sum.
This is outrageous! Outrageous!
As for the details of your petty complaints, these gentlemen came straight from the White House, where I assure you they used the bathroom, too.
Oh, Mr. Whiteside, Ernest didn't...
I did too. I meant every word of it.
There's only one point you make in which I see some slight justice. I do not expect you to pay for my telephone calls, and I shall see to it that restitution is made. Can you provide me with the exact amount?
I certainly can, and I certainly will.
Good! I shall instruct my lawyers to deduct it from the $150,000 that I am suing you for.
The Stanleys stalk off.
Now, let me ask you, gentlemen, is it true that in China you drown middle-aged businessmen at birth? Doi bidoi.
Now, Maggie Cutler and Bert Jefferson ice skate arm in arm. Snow blankets the park and trims the bare trees in white. At the edge of the pond, skaters warm themselves around a bonfire. Separating from Bert, Maggie belly flops into a snowbank.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maggie.
I understand now why Sonia Heine makes so much money.
You can't learn to skate without taking a spill or two. At that, you got a pretty good sense of balance.
Well, I should have. I cut a mean figure eight at the Stork Club.
He pulls her up.
You want to sit down? Hiya, Jack.
He lets go.
Oh, and I didn't even say yes.
I'm sorry, Maggie. Come on, let's go sit by the fire.
Oh, don't you ever wave again unless you see the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
He takes her hand, and they join the other skaters by the fire.
Hi, boy. What do you say?
Hi, boy.
What do you say, Jack? Hello, Mary.
Hi.
How's the ice?
Hot.
How's it, Sam? Gertie?
You know more people than a head waiter.
Well, I admit I'm popular. Here I am, the most attractive man in town.
Are you?
Sure, we ran a contest in the paper last week and I won. Of course, I own the paper, but that's just a coincidence. How about a hot sweet potato?
A what? Oh, sweet potato. That's what they serve at 21 with pineapple glacé.
Hey, Freddy.
Yes, Mr. Jefferson.
The hot sweets vendor comes over.
Two sweets.
Best in the West.
He hands them two hot potatoes.
Mmm, hot.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jefferson.
How's your back?
Broken, thank you.
You know, Maggie, I was wondering, I don't know if I'm making a hit with you or not.
You're doing all right.
Are you having fun, Maggie?
I'm loving it.
Good.
They munch their hot sweet potatoes.
You got a girl, Bert?
Oh, not particularly. Why?
Well, I'm just wondering. You know, most attractive man in town. Funny thing is, you are sort of attractive in a corn-fed sort of way. You can imagine some poor girl falling for you if you threw in a set of dishes.
Well, I've got the dishes.
Later, in his office, he reads to her.
Her footsteps quicken. Calmly and quietly, she goes through the doorway and the door closes behind her. There's a moment's silence and the curtain falls. Well, Maggie, there it is.
It's wonderful. I think it's a fine play.
Honestly, Maggie, you're telling me the truth?
It's better than that. I think it's great. May I take it with me? I want to read it again myself.
Sure. You like it as much as that, huh?
Bert Jefferson, you're quite a guy.
She kisses his cheek.
Say, I'll write another one right away.
There, you see how good it is? I've forgotten the time. I must go.
At the Stanleys, Whiteside sleeps in his wheelchair. He wears a silk robe over his white shirt and tie. He wearily stretches and checks his watch, then furrows his brow and glances around.
Miss Preen.
He glances over his shoulder.
Miss Preen! What have you got in there anyway, a sailor?
I was just fixing your medicine, Mr. Whiteside.
Has Miss Cutler come in?
I don't know, Mr. Whiteside. At least I haven't seen her.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure of anything anymore, Mr. Whiteside. Here's your medicine.
All right, all right. Go back to the Navy.
Glaring, she goes back to the library. He sniffs his medicine, then throws it into the fire. Whiteside quickly pretends to sleep as young June and Richard enter, carrying ice skates over their shoulders. June's blonde hair curls down from her pom-pom hat, and Richard wears a camera around his neck. Spotting Whiteside, they stop short. Whiteside opens one eye to peek at them, and they rush to the stairs.
Come here, you two! Come on, come on, I'm not going to bite you. Now look here, I am by nature a gracious and charming person. I'm afraid that when we first met, I was definitely unpleasant to you. For that, I am sorry, and I wish that in the future you wouldn't treat me like something out of Edgar Allan Poe.
How do you like my new tie?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Whiteside. This makes things so much pleasanter, and I think your tie's very pretty.
Well, now that we're on speaking terms, Mr. Whiteside, I don't mind telling you I've been admiring all your ties.
Do you like this one?
I certainly do.
It's yours.
Well, thanks.
Really, this curious legend that I am a difficult person is pure fabrication. Ice skating, eh? Ah, me. I used to cut figure eights myself, arm in arm with Betsy Ross waving the flag behind us.
Oh, it was wonderful on the ice tonight. Miss Cutler and Mr. Jefferson were there.
Maggie skating?
I got a marvelous picture of her.
They seemed to be having a wonderful time.
Did they indeed?
Say, Mr. Whiteside, would you mind if I took a picture of you? I'd love to have one.
Very well. Do you want my profile?
Afraid you're done for, Mr. Whiteside. My brother's a camera fiend.
Thanks, Mr. Whiteside. I got a great one. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
June and Richard trot upstairs. Checking the time, Whiteside frowns. As he reads a book, Harriet pokes her head out of an adjoining room and glances upstairs. Cradling a photo album, she tiptoes over to him.
Dear Mr. Whiteside, how wonderful to find you alone. I've been wanting to show you a few mementos of the past. I somehow feel that you will love them as I do.
Well, I'd be delighted. Miss Stanley, haven't we met somewhere before?
Oh, no. I would have remembered. It would have been one of my cherished memories, like these. Look, there I am with my first sweetheart under our lovely beechwood tree. I was 8 and he was 10. I have never forgotten him. What happy times we had. What precious hours.
She snatches the album away.
Good night, dear Mr. Whiteside. Good night.
She steals halfway upstairs in her flowing dress.
Happy, happy dreams.
Bringing a finger to her lips in a hush, she steps softly upstairs. Whiteside turns his chair around as Maggie strides in, beaming. With his arms firmly folded over his chest, he aims a cold, hard stare at her.
Good evening.
Whiteside glares.
Really, Sherry, you've got this room looking like an old parrot cage. Did you ever nap while I was out?
She grins at his flinty gaze.
What's the matter, dear? Cat got your tongue?
Don't look at me with those great cow eyes, you simpering sappho. Where have you been all night? Playing house with Bert Jefferson?
I had the most wonderful evening. I've been ice skating for the first time in my life. They tell me I'm the first person to do a figure eight from a sitting position.
We are not amused.
Bert read me his play. It's superb. It's not just a play by a newspaper man. It's really superb. Cries out for Cornell. Will you send it to her? Will you read it tonight?
No, I will not read it tonight or any other time. And while we're on the subject of Mr. Jefferson, you might tell him that I am suing him for your salary since he takes up all your time.
Oh, Sherry, it's not as bad as all that.
Haven't even been able to reach you, not knowing what ice cream parlors you frequent.
You're acting like a very spoiled child, Sherry.
Oh, don't take that patronizing tone with me, you flea-bitten Cleopatra. Sick and tired of your sneaking out like some lovesick high school girl every time my back is turned.
I'm afraid you hit the nail on the head.
Stop acting like Zazu Pitts and explain yourself.
Well, I'll be quick about it. I'm in love.
Nonsense. This is merely delayed adolescence.
No, Sherry. You're just about to lose a very excellent secretary.
You're out of your mind.
Yes, I think I am a little. I'm a girl who's waited a long time for this to happen to her. And now it has. Mr. Jefferson doesn't know it yet. But I'm going to try my darndest to marry him.
Is that all?
Well, yes, except that, I suppose this is my resignation as soon as you can find someone else.
Now, listen to me, Maggie. We've been together a long time. You are indispensable to me, but I think that I'm unselfish enough not to let that stand in the way where your happiness is concerned. Because whether you know it or not, I have a deep affection for you.
Oh, I know that, Sherry.
That being the case, I will not stand by and see you make a fool of yourself.
Oh, but I'm not.
You are, my dear. You're behaving like Tilly the Toiler. Oh, it's incredible.
I don't know how it's happened, Sherry. I can only tell you that it has. It's hard for me to believe myself. Here I am, a hard-bitten old cynic, behaving like Winnie the Pooh and liking it, discovering the moonlight and ice skating and...
We're leaving here tomorrow. Hip or no hip, we are leaving here tomorrow. I don't care if I fracture the other one. You get me a train schedule and start packing. I'll pull you out of this, Miss Stardust. I'll get the ants out of those moonlit...
No good, Sherry. It's no good. I'd be back on the first streamlined train.
Oh, it's completely unbelievable. Can you see yourself the wife of the editor of the Messalia Journal? Having an evening at home for Mr. and Mrs. Stanley.
Mr. and Mrs. Dribblepuss, and the members of the Big Sisters Benevolent Association.
Sherry, I've had 10 years of the great figures of our time, and don't think I'm not grateful to you for it. I've loved every minute of it. They've been wonderful years, gay and stimulating. I don't think anybody's had more fun than we've had. But a girl can't laugh all the time, Sherry. There comes a time when she wants... Bert Jefferson.
Oh,
you don't know Bert, Sherry. He's gentle, and he's unassuming, and he's... Well, I love him, that's all.
I see. Well, I remain completely unconvinced. You're drugging yourself into this Ginger Rogers fantasy, and before you become completely anesthetized, I shall do everything in my power to bring you to your senses.
Now, you listen to me, Whiteside. You lay off. I know you. I know what a devil you can be. I know what you've done to other people, but you're not going to do it to me. And don't you drug yourself with the idea that you're only thinking of my happiness. You're thinking of all those months of breaking in somebody new. I've seen you in a passion before when your life has been disrupted. And you couldn't dine on July 12th in Calcutta with the Maharaja this or that. Well, that's too bad, Sherry. But there it is. I'm going to marry Bert. If he'll have me. Don't you pull any of your tricks on me, because I'm onto every one of them. That's my message to you. Big Lord Fauntleroy.
She carries a box into the library. Whiteside pounds his hands on his knees, crumpling the play in his lap. Teeth clenched, he rolls up the manuscript to throw it in the fire, then stops. As he flips through the pages, his lips spread in a grin, and his eyes flit in mischief. Hurriedly, he wheels himself over to the phone.
Long distance, please. Hello, long distance? This is Visalia 142. I want to speak to Palm Beach, Florida. Miss Lorraine Sheldon. S-H-E-L-D-O-N. She's at the home of Lord Cedric Bottomley, Palm Beach. Well, will it take long? All right, my name is Whiteside. Thank you.
The butler opens the front door.
Good evening, John.
Good evening, Doctor.
Whiteside frowns.
Oh, well, well. Good evening, Mr. Whiteside.
Come back tomorrow, Doctor. I'm very busy.
I know it's rather late, but I've got something wonderful to tell you. Now, what would be the very best news that I could possibly bring you?
You have hydrophobia.
No, Mr. Whiteside. You're a well man. You can get up and walk. You can leave here tomorrow.
What do you mean?
Well, sir, I looked at the x-rays again tonight, and what do you know? I've been looking at the wrong x-rays. I've been looking at old Mrs. Moffat's x-rays. You are absolutely perfectly well.
Lower your voice, will you, please?
What's the matter? Aren't you pleased?
Well, delighted, of course, naturally, but it's a rather unexpected bit of news, however. Comes in a very curious moment. Doctor, I've some good news for you, too. I've been reading your book, 40 Years, what's it called?
An Ohio Doctor.
That's it. Yes. I consider it extremely close to being one of the greatest literary contributions of our time.
Oh, Mr. Whiteside.
So strongly do I feel about this, Doctor, that I have a little proposition to make to you. Now, just here and there, the book's a little uneven, a little rough. What I should like to do is to stay here in Missalia and work with you on it.
Oh, Mr. Whiteside, I should be so terribly honored.
Yes, but there's just one slight difficulty. You see, if my lecture bureau and my radio sponsors were to learn that I am well, they'd insist upon my fulfilling my contracts, and I would be forced to leave Visalia. Therefore, we must not tell anyone, not anyone at all, that I am well.
Oh, I see.
Not even Miss Cutler, you understand?
I won't. Not a soul, not even my wife. That's right. Mr. Whiteside, when shall we start work on my book? Tonight, late as it is? I've just got one patient that's dying. Then I'll be perfectly free.
Tomorrow morning. This is a private call. You'll excuse me. Yes? Hello. Yes, I'm on. Good night, Doctor. Good night.
Good night. I'll be here early in the morning.
On the phone, Lorraine sits poolside.
Hello? Is this my blossom girl?
Sherry, my sweet. How are you, darling?
Lorraine, my blossom. I have the most wonderful news for you. I've been reading the most brilliant play with an enchanting part in it for you. Why, you're on stage every minute.
Darling. What? Darling, why do I have to come there? Can't you send it to me? Lord Cedric's bringing the yacht down tomorrow.
Well, now, wait. Let me explain. The author is a young newspaper man here in town. His name is Bert Jefferson. Of course, he wants Catherine Cornell. But if you jump on a train and get right out here, I think you can swing it if you play your cards right. Huh? No, he's young, very attractive. Why, he's just your dish, my dear. Well, it just takes a little doing, and you're the girl that could do it. Isn't that exciting, my pet?
Oh, yes. I understand. Sherry, you're the dear sweet of the world, and I'll take the first train tomorrow morning. Good looking, too, huh? I can hardly wait.
And look, don't send me any messages. Just get on a train and arrive. That's my Blossom Girl. Goodbye.
With a crafty grin, he rubs his hands together as the beak-nosed nurse enters.
Forgot your sleeping tablet.
Hello, Miss Breen. My, you're looking radiant this evening. Sit down. Stay a while.
Shocked, she drops the pills in his lap, scurries into another room, and slams the door. Whiteside glances at the library's closed door, tosses his pills and blanket to the floor, and stands up. Holding his hip, he limps forward, then pulls up the legs of his trousers and starts to dance a jig. He rushes back to his wheelchair and pulls the blanket over his lap as Maggie comes out of the library. Calm and relaxed, Whiteside holds a book on his lap.
Sherry, I'm sorry for what I said just now. I'm afraid I was unjust.
Oh, it's quite all right, Maggie, my dear. We all lose our tempers now and then. Don't worry about it. Just get a good night's sleep.
People misjudge you, Sherry. You're really very sweet.
She kisses his forehead.
Good night.
Good night. Sweet dreams.
Thank you. Good night, Sherry.
She heads upstairs. Grinning broadly, Whiteside wheels his chair back and forth.
I'll dance a little wabbit in the sunshine. I'll dance a little wabbit in the spring. I'll dance a little wabbit in the rain time.
Now, John, Maggie, and Sarah the cook arrange presents under a Christmas tree.
Well, I guess that's all there are, Miss Cutler.
Thank you, John.
My, I never saw anyone get so many presents. I can hardly wait to see what's in them.
When will Mr. Whiteside open them, Miss Cutler?
Well, you see, John, Christmas is Mr. Whiteside's personal property. He invented it. It belongs to him. Tomorrow morning, very first thing, Mr. Whiteside will open each and every present, and he'll raise the biggest stink that you've ever seen in your life.
From Winston Churchill, Deanna Durbin, Gypsy Rose Lee, Somerset Maugham. My, I can hardly wait till tomorrow.
John goes to the door.
Isn't it wonderful? Mr. Whiteside's tree is so beautiful, too. Mr. and Miss Stanley can hardly undress at night with their tree in their bedroom.
Good evening, John.
Good evening, Mr. Jefferson.
Hiya, Maggie. Merry Christmas, Sarah.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Jefferson.
Say, business is good, isn't it? My, what a little quiet blackmail in a weekly radio show can get you. What do these sponsors give him?
A full year's supply of their product, Cream of Mush.
Cream of Mush. Well, you give it right back to him over the air.
Wait till you hear tonight's broadcast, old fellow. It's so gooey, I haven't been able to get it off my fingers since I copied it.
I'll bet. Look, I'll come clean. Under the influence of heaven knows what, I've just bought you a Christmas present.
Why, Mr. Jefferson, sir.
Only I'd like you to see it before I throw away my hard-earned money. Can you run downtown with me and take a look at it?
Bert, that's very sweet of you. I'm quite touched. What is it? I can't wait.
Now, do you think I'm going to tell you? Come on down and see.
All right.
He smiles sweetly.
Sherry?
Wearing a trim dress, she opens the library door.
Sherry? I'm going out for a few minutes with Horace Greeley. I won't be long.
She steps away.
Noel, Mr. W. How about a little gin rummy tonight after your broadcast?
No, I will not play gin rummy with you, Klondike Harry. You've been swindling the pants off me for 2 weeks. By the way, what do you give me for Christmas, Jefferson? I have enriched your feeble life beyond your capacity to repay me.
That's just what I figured, so I'm not giving you anything.
I see. Well, I was going to give you my old trust, but now I shan't.
Maggie returns wearing a fur coat.
Sherry, the radio man will be here at 6:30. I'll be back in time.
Where are you off to anyway, Madam Butterfly?
I'm being given a Christmas present. Anything I can bring back from downtown?
Yes, bring baby a lollipop.
Bert and Maggie leave.
I want to know what you bought me. I'm like a 10-year-old kid.
You know, you look like a 10-year-old kid right now, Maggie, at that.
Beside the shimmering Christmas tree, Whiteside watches them leave, then slams the library doors closed and wheels himself into the living room to dial the phone.
Operator, give me the Mansion House. No, I don't know the number. Hello. Mansion House. Tell me, has a Miss Lorraine Sheldon arrived yet? Yes, that's right. Miss Lorraine Sheldon from Palm Beach. She hasn't, eh?
Frowning, he hangs up, glances warily over his shoulder, then stands. Wearing a plaid smoking jacket with a velvet black collar and belt, he stretches. As the library door opens, he races back to his wheelchair. Miss Prehn steps out of the library, carrying a wash basin.
What do you want coming in like that? Why don't you knock when you come into a room?
But I wasn't coming in. I was coming out.
Miss Prehn, you were obviously in this room. That's true, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, therefore, you came in. Hereafter, please knock.
There's some expressmen outside with a crate, Mr. Whiteside. I told them to go around to the front.
Oh, thank you, John. Well, don't stand there, Miss Prehn. You look like a frozen custard. Go away!
She hurries off. Outside, two delivery men unload a wooden crate from a truck. Mr. Stanley opens his upstairs window.
What is it this time, Joe?
Penguins, Mr. Stanley, all the way from the South Pole.
Penguins?
Four of them. Two girls and two boys, I think.
Four. Well, you can't name them all after me. Here's where you come in, Daisy.
Downstairs, John lets the delivery men in.
Right in here, boys.
They head into the living room.
Careful now. Don't bump into anything.
Who's it from, Joe?
Admiral Byrd. They're penguins.
Direction how to feed them on top. Two of the slacks are loose.
To be fed only whale blubber, eels, and cracked lobster.
They got root beer this morning and liked it.
The delivery men leave.
Hello, hello, hello. You know, they make the most entrancing companions, John. Admiral Byrd has one that goes on all his lecture tours with him. I want these put right in the library with me. Take a right here, will you, please?
Yes.
And you better tell Sarah to order a couple of dozen lobsters.
Yes, sir.
I don't suppose there's any whale blubber in this town.
Good evening.
Oh, yes, there is.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Whiteside.
Hey, Merry Christmas. You don't happen to know if eels are in season, do you, Doctor?
How's that?
Never mind. I was a fool to ask you.
I opened those slats a little, Mr. Whiteside. They seem so crowded in there.
Oh, thank you, John.
Hey!
Must be Mr. Stanley wrestling with my octopus.
John hurries upstairs.
Oh, Mr. Whiteside.
Hey, goodbye, Doctor. I'm sorry you happened to drop in just now. I have to do my yogi exercises. Yes,
but, Mr. Whiteside, it's a week now. My book, you know. When are we going to start to work on my book? I thought perhaps today, maybe we...
Good evening, Dr. Bradley.
Good evening, Miss Prehn.
She opens the library door and gapes. Four penguins waddle in front of a blazing fireplace. Closing the door, Miss Prehn turns back around.
Doctor, perhaps I'm not well, but when I opened the door just now, I thought I saw a penguin with a thermometer in his mouth.
What's that? Have those penguins gotten out of their crate?
Did you say penguins?
Yes.
I was afraid the strain had been too much for me.
Penguins? Yes, Doctor. Would you go in and catch them, please, and put them back in their crate? There are four of them.
Capture the penguins?
That's right. And Miss Prehn, will you entertain them, please, until I come in?
Yes, sir.
John comes downstairs.
Christmas tree in the bedroom just fell on Mr. Stanley. He got a big bump on his forehead.
Why? Isn't that too bad? Go ahead, Doctor. Go on, Miss Prehn.
Richard enters.
Hello, Mr. Whiteside.
Hello, Dickie, my boy.
But, Mr. Whiteside, will you have some time later today? My book.
Well, I don't know, Doctor. I'm busy now.
Well, suppose I wait a little while. I'll wait a little while.
Dr. Bradley is the greatest living argument for mercy killing. Well, Richard, would you like a candid camera shot of my left nostril this evening?
Oh, I'm sort of stocked up on those. Have you got a minute to see some new ones I've taken?
I certainly have.
Whiteside looks through his photographs.
These are splendid, Richard. Richard, I've been meaning to talk to you about this. You're not just a kid fooling around with a camera anymore. These are good. This is what you ought to do. You ought to get away from here and do some of those things you've been telling me about. Get on a boat, get off wherever it stops. Galveston, Mexico, Singapore. Work your way through and just take pictures, millions of them. Terrible pictures, wonderful pictures, everything.
If I could do that, I'd be the happiest guy in the world.
Why can't you do it? If I were your age, I'd do it like a shot.
You know why. Dad.
Richard, do you really want to do this more than anything else in the world?
I certainly do.
Well, then do it.
Hello, Dick. Good evening, Mr. Whiteside.
Hello, lovely. So, Richard, I'm afraid it's up to you.
I guess it is. Thank you, Mr. Whiteside. You've been swell, and I'll never forget it.
All right, Richard.
June, are you coming upstairs?
Yes, in a few minutes.
Well, knock on my door, will you? I want to talk to you.
Yes, I will. Mr. Whiteside, may I speak to you for a few minutes? It's important.
Why, certainly, my dear. I take it this is all about your young Lothario at the factory.
Yes. I simply can't get Father to understand. What are we going to do, Mr. Whiteside? Sandy and I love each other. I don't know where to turn.
My dear, I'd like to meet this young man. I'd like to see him for myself.
Would you meet him? He's just outside. He's in the kitchen.
Good, bring him in.
Oh, Mr. Whiteside, he's a very sensitive boy. You'll be kind to him, won't you?
Confound it, June, what have you learned that I'm always kind and courteous? Bring this idiot in.
She escorts in a tall, well-dressed man.
Sandy. Here he is, Mr. Whiteside. This is Sandy.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do? Young man, I've been hearing a good deal about you from June this past week. Seems, if I have been correctly informed, that you two babes in the woods have gone quietly out of your minds.
There's another name for it. It's called love.
Well, you've come to the right place. Dr. Sheraton Whiteside, broken hearts, bended bricks, relined hamburgers. Go right ahead.
Well, if June has told you anything at all, Mr. Whiteside, you know the jam we're in. You see, I work for the union, Mr. Whiteside. I'm an organizer, and I've been organizing the men at Mr. Stanley's factory. And Mr. Stanley's pretty sore about it.
Ha! I'll bet.
June told you.
Yes, she did.
Sandy's leaving town tonight for Chicago, Mr. Whiteside. He'll probably be gone a year. We've simply got to decide now.
Well, my dear, it's absurdly simple. It's no problem at all. Suppose your parents are unhappy. It's good for them. Develops their characters. Now look at me. I left home at the age of 4, and I haven't been back since. They hear me over the radio, and that's enough for them.
Then your advice is to go ahead, sir?
It is. Marry him tonight, June.
You mean that, Mr. Whiteside?
No. No, I mean that you should marry Walter Winchell. If I didn't mean it, I wouldn't say it. What do you want me to do? Say it all over again?
Daisy, I can't wait any longer.
There's Dad.
She rushes Sandy into the adjoining room as her father steps downstairs with an armload of Christmas gifts. His wife follows behind.
Forgive us for Christmasing, Mr. Whiteside.
Not at all, old fellow, not at all. It's Christmas, you know. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Ah, yes. Merry Christmas. Come along, Daisy.
Why, Mr. Stanley, what has happened to your forehead? Have you had an accident?
No, Mr. Whiteside. I am taking boxing lessons. Oh, all right, Daisy.
She hesitates to pass by Whiteside.
Boo!
She forces a faint smile, then backs up and walks around the desk to avoid him. On her way out, she waves timidly. At the top of the stairs, Harriet watches her go. Draped in a long, flowing dress, she carries a gift box downstairs.
Dear Mr. Whiteside, I've been trying all day to see you, to give you this.
Why, Miss Stanley, a Christmas gift for me?
Oh, it's just a trifle, but I wanted you to have it. It's a picture of me as I used to be. It was taken on another Christmas Eve many years ago.
She glances cautiously around the room.
Don't open it till the stroke of midnight, will you?
He shakes his head.
Merry Christmas, dear Mr. Whiteside. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Miss Stanley, and thank you.
Harriet jogs back upstairs. Furrowing his brow, Whiteside stares down at his ribbon-tied gift box. Now, at a railway express station, a jug-eared clerk takes a book-sized package from a shelf, then turns to Bert and Maggie, who wait in front of the counter.
Mighty nifty-looking package. I had quite a struggle with myself before I decided not to open it.
Here you are, Maggie.
I'm so excited.
Yes, sign for it, will you, please? Know what I'm giving my wife? A pipe.
A pipe? That doesn't sound very sensible.
It's as sensible as the vacuum cleaner she's given me.
Maggie takes a gift out of the box.
Oh, beautifully, it's wrapped.
Grinning excitedly, she pulls off the ribbon and tears into the thin white paper to find a jewelry box. Bert watches her open it and smile as she takes out a sparkling charm bracelet.
Why, Bert, how wonderful.
He beams.
Here's a typewriter. That's what brought us together. Remember the day you fixed the ribbon?
Uh-huh.
And a pair of ice skates to remind you never to go skating again. This little heart with the arrow through it. I just had that in the catalog.
Bert, this is the nicest Christmas I've ever had.
Well, I just never happened to be around before.
I'm certainly glad that Sherry fell and fractured his hip.
Oh, there's a little something engraved on them. Here, it starts here.
Faint. Heart. Nair. One. Fair lady.
nor iron, bars, a cage. Well, Bert, it's a very nice sentiment, but isn't it a bit grim towards the end?
Well, it should have ended after Fair Lady.
Thank you, sir.
I guess he just had some extra charms laying around.
Oh, heavens, I've got to get back. Sherry broadcasts at 7 o'clock. Come on. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, ma'am.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, Bert.
Tell me, Maggie, if you ever get married, how many children are you going to have?
6 or 7.
Goodbye.
Hey, I'll make it 4.
Well, then I might consider.
As they leave, the glamorous and svelte Lorraine Sheldon steps off a train with her hands tucked in a fur muff.
Cosette, take everything on to the hotel, will you? I'm going right out and see poor Mr. Whiteside. Oh, give me something to wear, dear. I feel so naked.
Madame.
Cosette opens a case filled with jewelry, and Lorraine chooses a diamond bracelet. Nearby, 4 cab drivers open their doors at once. The cab drivers hurry over to Lorraine.
Taxi, lady.
This way, miss.
Lorraine smiles at one, and he falls backward into the other's arms.
Oh.
Later, John opens the door for Lorraine.
This is a Stanley residence, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I've come to see Mr. Whiteside. Will you tell him Miss Sheldon is here, please?
Lorraine, my blossom girl.
Darling. Oh, darling, look at that poor, sweet, tortured face. Let me kiss it. Oh, darling, how drawn you are. Sherry, my sweet, I want to cry.
All right. You've made a very nice entrance. Now relax, dear.
But, Sherry, darling, I've been so worried, and now seeing you in that chair.
This chair fits my contours as nothing else ever has. I'm feeling better than I have in years, and my only concern is news of the outside world. So take off that skunk, dear, and tell me everything. How are you, my darling? Oh,
darling, I'm so relieved. You look perfectly wonderful. My dear, do I look a wreck? I just jumped on the train the minute you called me. Of course, Palm Beach has been so hectic this season. Fun, you know, but simply exhausting. Jock Whitney, Cary Grant, Barbara Hutton. Just too exhausting. I simply never got to bed at all. I don't know where to start.
We'll start with the dirt first, dear. That's what I want to hear.
Let me see. Oh, yes. Sybil Cartwright was ordered right off the beach. It happened the day before I left. She had on one of those new cellophane bathing suits, and you could practically see the waves breaking.
Ah, oh, poor old Sybil.
Oh, and Louise Curtis. You know her, Sherry. Well, she just divorced her 4th husband and remarried a 2nd. It was awfully messy, because before he could remarry her, he had to divorce his 3rd wife, who was Louise's mother. But it was a beautiful wedding. Oh, and before I forget it, Elsa Maxwell gave me a message for you. She wants you to take off £25 right away and send them to her parcel post. She needs them.
They shall be packed in ice. Now, come on. What about you? What about you and that splendid bit of English mutton, Lord Bottomley? Haven't you hooked him yet?
Sherry, please. He's just a very dear friend of mine.
No, Blossom girl, this is Sherry. Don't try to pull the bedclothes over my eyes. Don't tell me you wouldn't like to be Lady Bottomley with £100,000 a year and 12 castles. By the way, has he had his teeth fixed yet? Every time I order Roquefort cheese, I think of those teeth.
She grimaces.
Sherry, really? Cedric may not be brilliant, but he's rather sweet, poor lamb, and very fond of me. After all, if I can marry him, I don't see why I shouldn't. Shall I tell you something, Sherry, darling? I think from something he said to me that he's finally coming around to it. Oh, nothing definite, mind you. But don't be surprised if I am Lady Bottomley before long.
Lady Bottomley. Won't Kansas City be surprised? However, I shall be a flower girl, and I shall give the groom an iron toothpick as a wedding present. Now, come on, my blossom, or what's the more of your skullduggery?
Well,
Oh, Mr. Weiss. Oh, no, I'm busy now.
Yes, but I...
Go away!
Yes, sir.
The doctor carries a penguin back into the library.
What was that?
He's fixing the plumbing. Now, come on, I want some news.
But, Sherry, darling, what about this play? After all, I've come all the way from Palm Beach, even on Christmas Eve. I've been so excited ever since you telephoned me about it. Where is it? When can I read it?
Well, now, here's the situation. This young author, his name is Bert Jefferson, brought me the play with the understanding that I sent it to Catherine Cornell. Well, it's a magnificent part, and heaven knows I feel disloyal to Kip.
Oh, shit.
But there you are. Now, I've done this much, the rest's up to you. He's young, attractive. Just how you'll go about persuading him, I'm sure you know more about than I do, my dear.
Oh, darling, how can I ever thank you? Does he know I'm coming? This young man, I mean.
Oh, no. You're just out here visiting me. You'll meet him, and that's that. Get him to take you out to dinner and work around the play. Good heavens, I don't have to tell you how to do these things. How'd you get all those other parts?
Sherry. Well, I'll run back to the hotel and get into something more attractive. I just dumped my bags and rushed right over here. Darling, you're wonderful.
All right, now run along and get into your working clothes. Then you come back here and spend Christmas Eve with Sherry, and I'll have Mr. Jefferson on tap. And by the by, don't mention a word of the play in front of Maggie. You know what a friend she is of Kit Cornell's.
I'll just be polite with Maggie.
Yeah. And, oh, I've got a little surprise for you. Who do you suppose is paying me a flying visit tonight? None other than your old friend and fellow actor, Beverly Carlton.
Beverly? Really? I thought he was being glamorous again on a tramp steamer.
Oh, come, come, Blossom. Mustn't be bitter just because he got better notices than you did.
Don't be silly, Sherry. I never read notices. I simply wouldn't care to act with him again, that's all. He's not staying here, is he? I hope not.
Temper, temper, temper. No, he's not. Where'd you get that diamond bracelet, dear? That's a new bit of loot, isn't it?
Oh, haven't you seen this before? Cedric gave it to me for his mother's birthday. She was simply furious. Oh, but darling, I have a taxi waiting outside now. If I'm to get back here.
Sherry, what do you think
Maggie frowns.
Oh, hello, Maggie. I knew you must be around somewhere. How are you, my dear?
Santa Claus has been at work, my pet. Lorraine Blossom just dropped in out of the blue and surprised us.
Hello, Lorraine. Hello.
Bert, is that you? Come right in, Bert, the youngest forever. Mr. Bert Johnson, Miss Lorraine Sheldon.
How do you do, Miss Sheldon?
How do you do? I didn't quite catch the name. Jefferson?
That's right, pet.
She hurries to shake his hand.
Why, Mr. Jefferson, you don't look like a newspaper man. You don't look like a newspaper man at all.
Really? I thought it was written all over me in neon lights.
Oh, not at all. You know, I should have said you were an aviator, an explorer or something. They have the same kind of dash about them. I'm simply enchanted with your little town, Mr. Jefferson. It gives one such a warm, gracious feeling. Tell me, have you lived here all your life?
Practically.
Now, if you wish to hear the story of his life, Lorraine, kindly do so on your own time. Maggie and I have work to do. Get out of here, Jefferson. On your way, Blossom. On your way.
He's the world's rudest man, isn't he? Oh, could I drop you, Mr. Jefferson? I'm going down to the mansion house, I think it's called.
Thank you, but I've got my car. Suppose I drop you.
Oh, would you? That'd be lovely. We'll send the taxi right off. I'll see you later, Sherry, dear. Bye, Maggie.
Goodbye, Maggie. By the way, I'm invited back for dinner, am I not?
Oh, yes, yes, you are. At Christmas, I always feed the needy. Now, stop oozing out. Get out.
Come on, Mr. Jefferson. I want to hear more about this charming little town of yours. And I want to know a great deal more about you, too.
Let me see. Is there a copy of that broadcast around here anywhere? How much time did you say they wanted out? 4 minutes?
That's right, 4 minutes.
He edits his broadcast.
She's looking very well, isn't she?
Who?
Countess de Cyanide. Quite a surprise, wasn't it, her dropping in like this?
Yes, yes, it was, yes, it was, yeah. At this joyous season of the year, when in the hearts of men, now I can't cut that.
Isn't it curious? There was Lorraine, snug as a bug in somebody's patio in Palm Beach.
Ere the Yuletide season pass.
Now, Sherry, I think we will talk a bit.
Now, look here, Maggie, just because a friend of mine happens to come out here and spend Christmas with me.
I don't think she happened to come out here, Sherry. I don't think that at all.
Surely you're not suggesting that I had anything to do about it?
Yes, Sherry, I am.
Maggie, you know that one of my cardinal principles is never to interfere in other people's lives. Absolutely never.
June and Richard hurry downstairs carrying suitcases.
Goodbye, Mr. Whiteside. We can never thank you enough for your advice.
You've changed our whole lives.
Yes, yes. Well, goodbye. Have a nice trip. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Cutler.
Goodbye, Miss Cutler.
Bye.
Raising her eyebrows, Maggie grins.
I see.
Well, I don't know what they were talking about, Maggie. And as for Lorraine, no one was more surprised than I when she walked in.
Sherry, I'm warning you. This means a great deal to me. I won't stand for any nonsense.
I have a hunch that's Beverly. Run and see who it is. Go ahead, Maggie. Run, 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 run.
She stands rigidly, then steps away. John opens the front door.
Mr. Whiteside?
Yes, sir. Come right in.
Thank you.
The slick-haired gentleman wears a pinstriped suit.
Beverly!
Magpie!
They embrace.
Beverly Carlton, come in here, you Piccadilly pen pusher, and gaze upon a soul in agony.
Now, don't tell me how you are, Sherry. I want none of the tiresome details. I've very little time, and so the conversation will be entirely about me, and I shall love it. Shall I tell you how I glittered through the South Seas like a silvery scimitar? Or would you rather hear how I finished a three-act play with one hand and made love to a Maharaja's daughter with the other? It's a very pretty sight. Magpie, my dear, you are the moonflower of my middle age, and I love you very much. Say something tender to me.
Beverly, darling.
That's my girl. Sherry, without going into mountainous waves of self-pity, how are you?
I'm fine, you presumptuous cockney. Now, how was this trip? Wonderful?
The trip was fabulous. I wrote 2 plays, a revue, and an operetta. All of them so brilliant that they frighten me. How can one man possibly be as clever as I am?
It's one of the mysteries of the universe.
Beverly, a very dear friend of yours is visiting us. The languorous Lorraine.
Oh, Miss Sheldon. Yes, dear girl. They do say she set fire to her mother, but I don't believe it.
Tell me, did you see my wonderful banjo when you were in Hollywood?
I did, and he gave a dinner for me. I arrived in white tie and tails to be met at the entrance by 2 bewigged butlers who very quietly proceeded to take off my trousers. I was then ushered in my lemon silk shorts into the room where there was Norma Shearer, Claudette Colbert, and many, many others. Dear incomparable Banjo.
I'll never forget that summer on the Riviera when Banjo put a microphone in Lorraine's cabana and then played the record the next day at lunch.
I remember very well. And she left by the very next boat.
I wish Banjo were here now.
Oh, my poor, sweet little magpie. What's the matter? Is Lorraine being her dear, sweet, sick-making little self?
You wouldn't take her away with you, would you, Beverly? Would you? Just for me.
Now, now, Lorraine is a charming person who has gallantly given up her own Christmas to spend it with me.
I knew I had a little bit of dirt for us to nibble on.
Oh, Mr. Whiteside. What? Oh, no, I'm very busy now. Go away. Oh, that's all right. I'll wait.
The doctor returns to the library.
You kidnapped someone, Sherry.
No, that was Superman. Now, come on, is this something juicy?
Juicy as a pomegranate. It's the latest report from Palm Beach on the winter maneuvers of Lorraine Sheldon against the left flank, or rather all flanks, of Lord Cedric Bottomley. Listen, Lorraine arrived here in November in a cloud of Chanel No. 5. Since then, in her relentless pursuit of old Cedric, she has paused only to change girdles and check her oil. She has chased him panting from beach house to beach house until he finally took refuge for several weekends in the men's locker rooms of the Turf and Jockey Club. Cedric is hiding in Carolina at the moment, but Lorraine would fly to him in a Stratoliner if he so much as sneezed in her direction. Have you met our little Cedric, Maggie?
No, I haven't.
Not very good shooting today, blasted. Only 6 pheasant, 4 duck, and my cousin Archie. That's Bottomley to his very fingertips.
Oh, but that's impossible. Nobody could be like
that. Oh, it's so good, it's uncanny. Beverly, why do you have to race right out of here? I never see enough of you, ungrateful muppet.
Sherry, my own, all I can tell you is that my esteem for you is so great that I changed trains in Chicago just to spend 10 minutes with you and wish you a Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas, my lad. And to you, my little magpie.
He throws her a kiss.
Oh, good evening. You find Mr. Whiteside in the living room.
Oh, thank you. Come on, boys.
A radio team.
Hello, Mr. Whiteside.
Hello. Come right in, Westcott. Ah, the airwaves. Well, I shan't have to listen to you, thank heaven. I shall be on the train.
Mr. Westcott, will you go in the library in there?
Right.
John, will you help the men?
Yes, Miss Cutler. Right this way, gentlemen.
Come on, Sherry. Say goodbye.
Stop this nonsense, Maggie. Au revoir, my fabulous cream puff. What the devil are you doing, Maggie? I want to talk to Beverly.
Kiss Beverly in Macy's window on July 4th.
I will not be rushed out of this room like a baby that has to have its thingamabobs changed.
She wheels him into the library.
Well.
Beverly. I want 1 minute of your time. I've got to have it. You make your train.
What's the matter, Magpie?
I'm in great trouble.
Why, what is it, Maggie?
Well, I've fallen in love.
No.
Yes, for the first time in my life, I've fallen in love. I can't tell you about it now. There isn't time. But Sherry's trying to break it up. In his own fiendish way, he's doing everything in the world to break it up.
The old flounder. What's he doing?
Lorraine. He's brought Lorraine here to smash it up.
Well, you mean it's somebody here in this town?
Yes, he's a newspaper man. You'll see him at the station. He wants to interview you. Well, you see, he's written a play, and I suspect Sherry is using that as bait. You know Lorraine. She'll eat him up alive. You've got to help me.
Oh, darling, of course I will. What do you want me to do?
Well, Lorraine's coming back here in a few minutes. And I thought perhaps that you'd,
Don't say another word, Maggie. I know just what to do about it. And I shall love it. I shall absolutely love it. What's more, it crosses up Sherry and Lorraine at the same time. It's pure heaven. I adore it. I must fly.
Oh, Beverly, don't.
I know I am. Come to my house for your honeymoon and I'll put you up.
We'll name the first baby Beverly.
Darling, I love you. Don't spare the horses, my man. A woman's honor's at stake.
He heads to his taxi. Inside, Whiteside feeds his penguins.
There you are, my pretty.
Hollywood calling you, Mr. Whiteside.
Oh, thank you, John.
On a film set, a balding Hello. Man holds a young blonde on his lap.
Banjo! Hello, Banjo, my boy. How are you, you feeble-minded actor?
Hello, Whiteside. How is Trix? I hear you broke your hip chasing a blonde.
No, my bustle's fine. Couldn't be better. Maggie, well, she's lost her mind temporarily, but I'm fixing that. Listen, Banjo, did you reverse the charges? You didn't. Well, call the operator and tell her to do it. Just a little Christmas present to you from my host. Well, I can't waste my time talking to a lot of Hollywood riffraff. Just get on a plane right away.
I'll think it over.
Banjo gapes at a leggy blonde in a skimpy bodysuit passing by and rushes after her.
Hello, Banjo. I know Banjo. We were cut off by a beautiful blonde.
Later.
Is there anything I can do before the broadcast, Miss Cutler?
Oh, no, John, thank you. It isn't television, thank heaven. They only hear his liquid voice.
He's really wonderful, isn't he? The things he finds time to do.
Yes, he certainly sticks his nose into everything.
Good evening, Miss Sheldon.
Good evening, John.
She wears a long, flowing dress.
Hello, dear. Where's Sherry?
Inside working.
Oh?
He's on the air very soon.
Oh, of course.
It's quite a get-up you have on, Lorraine. Going anywhere?
This? Oh, I just threw on anything at all. Aren't you dressing for dinner?
No, just what meets the eye.
She wears a plain black dress and her hair neatly up.
Who does your hair, Maggie? A little French woman named Maggie Cutler comes in every morning.
You know, every time I see you, I keep thinking your hair could be so lovely. I always want to get my hands on it.
You know, I've always wanted to get mine on yours, Lorraine.
What, dear?
Wearing a chic hat and a mink stole, Lorraine primps herself in a mirror as a boyish radio assistant carries a stool into the living room. He gawks at the gorgeous actress. A grin lights up his face, and she feigns a demure smile back. Keeping his smitten eyes on her, he moves a coffee table in front of the blazing fireplace, then bumps into the stool. Under her coquettish gaze, he beams a wide smile and stumbles over a chair. As he looks back at her, he walks into the door, then grins and leaves.
How long will Sherry be in there?
Not long. Lorraine, did you know that Mr. Jefferson had written quite a good play? The young man who drove you to the hotel this morning.
Oh, really? No, I didn't. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, isn't it?
Maggie smiles at her, and Lorraine slips the fur shawl off her shoulders. Maggie gets up to answer the phone and gazes at Lorraine through narrowed eyes.
Hello?
At the train station, Beverly talks in a phone booth while Bert waits outside.
Yes, Miss Lorraine Sheldon, she's here. Yes, just a minute. A long-distance call for you, Lorraine.
Long-distance for me? Here? Why, what in the world?
South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina. Hello? Cedric? Oh, why, Cedric. Why, what a surprise. Well, how did you know I was here?
It's Beverly.
I was so upset to return and find you gone. I was devastated, really. I was absolutely devastated. I simply had to call you and curse I love you.
What?
Darling, don't talk so fast and you won't stutter so.
Yes, that's better. Yes, now I can hear you very clearly. It's as though you were just around the corner. I see.
I said I simply had to call you and tell you how much I adore you.
What? Oh, darling.
Cedric, dearest, will you wait just a moment, please?
Maggie, do you mind? Lord Bottomley, a very personal call. Do you mind?
Not at all.
With a gracious smile, Maggie sashays out of the room.
Yes, my dearest. Now tell me.
At the train station, Bert peers into the phone booth at Beverly, who makes funny faces as he talks.
Cedric, please don't stutter so. Don't be nervous.
Lorraine, my sweet, I got in touch with a mater, and she's given her consent to our betrothal. Lorraine, my darling, will you be my wife?
Oh, darling, yes. 1,000 times yes. Oh, my darling. Oh, my sweet, you don't know how I've prayed for this every night. I'll take a plane right out of here. What?
Lorraine's gaze hardens.
Cedric, please don't stutter so. Yes, and I love you, my darling. Oh, so much. Oh, my sweet. Yes, I will. I'll be thinking of you every moment. You've made me the happiest girl in the world. Goodbye.
Goodbye, darling. Goodbye.
Beverly hangs up.
Sherry! Sherry! Sherry, darling! I can hardly wait to tell you. It's unbelievable.
Maggie spies.
The most wonderful thing has happened. Cedric just called from South Carolina. He's asked me to marry him.
What?
Think of it. Oh, I must get out of here and catch the next plane.
May I come in now, Lorraine?
Oh, Maggie, darling, can I get a plane out of here right away? The most wonderful thing in the world's happened. Lord Bottomley's asked me to marry him. Oh, Maggie.
Really? What do you know?
Isn't it wonderful? I'm so excited, I can hardly think. Maggie, you must help me get out of here.
Oh, I'd be delighted to.
Oh, thank you, darling, thank you. Can you look up things right away?
Oh, yes, I have a timetable over here. And don't worry, if you can catch a plane out of here, why, I'll drive you to Cleveland. You can get one from there.
Maggie, you're wonderful. Sherry. Sherry, darling, what's the matter? You haven't said a word. You haven't even congratulated me.
But we understand this, Lorraine. Am I to gather from your girly squeals that you are about to toss your career into the ash can?
Well, Sherry, you couldn't expect.
Don't explain, Lorraine. I understand only too well. I also understand why Cornell remains the first actress of our theater.
Lorraine, we're in luck. There's a plane out of Cleveland at 10:03.
Oh, let me see.
It takes an hour to drive over. Isn't everything working out beautifully, Sherry?
Peachy.
Oh, Maggie, what's the name of the hotel where I'm staying? I want to get my maid to start packing.
The Mansion House.
Maggie looks out the window as Lorraine dials.
Mansion House, please.
Oh, it's snowing. Isn't that wonderful? I never felt so much like Christmas in all my life. Don't you, Sherry, dear?
Shut your nasty little face!
Lorraine beams.
Hello? Hello? This is Miss Sheldon. Put me through to my maid, please. Cosette? Now, listen carefully, Cosette. We're leaving by plane tonight for South Carolina. I want you to start packing immediately, and I'll call for you in about an hour. That's right. Now, I want you to send some telegrams for me. Have you got a pencil? Right. Now, the first one goes to the Duchess of Sutherland. She's in Newport. Oh, you'll find all these addresses in the little book. It's in my dressing case. Now, ready? Darling, Cedric and I are being married tomorrow, South Carolina. Wanted you to be the first to know. Love, Lorraine. Oh, madame, I am so happy. At last you have hooked him. Thank you, Cosette. Thank you. Now, I want you to send the same message to Mr. and Mrs. Perry Livingston, Mrs. Cornelius Vanderbilt, and my mother in Kansas City. Now send a wire to Tiffany's, New York. Can you bring to South Carolina the triple string of pearls I picked out in October? Lorraine Sheldon. Now, have you got all that straight, Cosette? That's fine. Oh, you must hurry, dear. I'll be there in about an hour, and you mustn't be late. All right. Goodbye. Thank goodness for Cosette. I'd die without her. Who would have thought an hour ago I'd be on my way to South Carolina?
Life is just full of surprises, isn't it?
Will you both stop this female drooling? I have a violent headache.
Oh, Sherry, can't I get you something? Now, look here, Sherry. After all, my life is my own.
Good evening, Mr. Jefferson.
Oh, John. Hello, everybody. Say, do you know it's snowing out? We're going to have a real old-fashioned Christmas.
Why don't you telephone your scoop to the Associated Press?
Bert, Miss Sheldon has to catch a plane from Cleveland tonight. Shall we drive her over, you and I?
Why, certainly. Oh, thanks, Maggie. Sorry you have to go, Miss Sheldon. No bad news, I hope.
Oh, on the contrary, very good news. Wonderful news.
Yes, indeed. Calls for a drink, I think. Sherry, you're not a very good host. How about a bottle of champagne?
Oh, I can do better than that. Let me mix you a Jefferson special. How about it, Mr. Whiteside?
Oh, yes. Mix anything, only stop drivelling.
Anybody admired my Christmas present yet, Maggie?
She shows them her bracelet.
From Mr. Jefferson to me.
Oh, Maggie, let me see. Why, that's charming. That's a lovely Christmas present. Isn't that sweet, Sherry?
Ducky.
I told you it was beautiful, Betsy.
What's going on between you two? Maggie, are you hiding something from us?
Great heavens, will this drivel never stop? My head is bursting.
My Jefferson special will cure anything. By the way, Maggie, I got a one-minute interview with Beverly Carlin at the station. You were right. He's quite something.
Bert, go ahead and mix the drinks, will you?
I was lucky to get even a minute. He was in a telephone booth most of the time.
Bert, mix the drinks, will you?
Okay. Couldn't hear what he was saying, but from the faces he was making, it looked like a scene from one of his plays.
Just a moment, if you please, Mr. Jefferson. Mr. Carlton was in a telephone booth at the station?
Certainly was. I thought he'd never come out. Kept talking and making the darndest faces for about 5 minutes.
Bert, my boy, I feel that I'm going to love the Jefferson special. Make me a double one, will you? My headache is gone with the wind.
Okay.
Maggie wrings her hands and Whiteside smiles.
Philo Vance is now at work.
Grinning, he picks up the phone receiver and dials.
Operator, have there been any calls over this phone from South Carolina during the past half hour? Yes, I'll wait.
Sherry, what is all this?
Shh. What's that? There have been no calls from South Carolina at any time? Thank you. Now, will you repeat that, please?
He puts the phone to Lorraine's ear.
Hear it, dear? Thank you, operator, and Merry Christmas.
Sherry, what is all this? What does it mean?
My dear, you just played the greatest love scene of your career with your old friend Beverly Carlson.
Why, that's not true. I was talking to Cedric. What do you mean?
I mean, my blossom, that was Beverly you poured out your girlish heart to, not Lord Bottomley. Who would have thought 5 minutes ago that you would not be going to South Carolina?
Sherry, I want this explained.
Explained? You heard Beverly imitate Lord Bottomley before, haven't you?
Well, yes, of course, but why? Why in the world would he want to do such a thing? Why, this is the most dreadful... Oh, those telegrams.
She rushes to the phone.
Give me the hotel, whatever it's called. I want the hotel. Why, the rat, I'll pay him back for this if it's the last thing. Why, the skunk, the dirty, rotten... Mansion House, connect me with my maid. What? Who the devil do you think it is? Miss Sheldon, of course. Oh, if only Cosette hasn't sent those... Cosette, did you send those telegrams? Oh, now listen, Cosette. I want you to send another telegram to every one of those people and tell them somebody's been using my name and to disregard anything and everything they hear from me, except this, of course. Don't ask questions. Do as you're told. Don't argue with me, you French moron. Do as you're told and unpack. We're not going.
Steady, Blossom. Take it easy.
What do you mean, take it easy? Do you realize I'll be the laughingstock of New York? I always knew Beverly Carlton was low, but not this low. Why? Why would anyone in the world want to play a silly trick like this? I can't understand it. Do you, Sherry? Do you, Maggie? Why would he walk right out of here, go straight to a telephone booth, and try and send me to South Carolina on a fool's errand? There must be some reason. Why would Beverly Carlson, or anyone else for that matter, want me to...
Noticing Maggie's long face, Lorraine's gaze hardens.
Oh, I think I begin... Of course, that's it! Yes, and that's a very charming bracelet Mr. Jefferson gave you, isn't it, Maggie, my dear? It makes complete sense now. And to think that I nearly... Well, wild horses couldn't get me out of here now, Maggie. And if I were you, I'd hang on to that charming little bracelet, my dear. It'll be something to remember him by.
All right, Mr. Whiteside, it's almost time. Hook him up, boys, and start testing, will you? Well, give us a hand with the furniture here. We want to move it out of the way. Miss Cutler, here's the new script.
Come, Daisy.
Are we coming in?
The Stanleys cut through the radio equipment on their way upstairs. Bert returns.
Mary had a little lamb.
Here comes the Jefferson special. Four. Oh, have we time?
Oh, I'm sure we have, Mr. Jefferson. I'm not leaving after all. My plans are changed.
Really? Oh, that's good.
And you can read the play to me tonight, Mr. Jefferson, will you? We'll go back to the Mansion House right after dinner.
Well, I should say so. I'd be delighted. Maggie, did you hear that? Say, I'll bet you did this. You arranged the whole thing. Well, it's the finest Christmas present you could have given me.
Choking back tears, she dashes out of the room, grabs her coat, and rushes out the front door.
Maggie!
Bert frowns, and the Stanleys stalk downstairs.
30 seconds.
Where would you like to have this, Mr. Whiteside?
Yes, sir. Quiet, please. My son has run off on the freighter, and my daughter's marrying an alien.
Why, she's still busy.
Please, quiet.
It was the last
thing. Back to the microphone. Let Mr. Whiteside broadcast, please.
The Penguins waddle into the room.
Get the heck out of here. We're going on the air. All right, boys, step right this way. We'll use the microphone over here.
A boys' choir enters.
Snap into it, fellas. Snap into it.
Okay, New York.
Cream of Mush brings you Sheridan Whiteside.
Silent night.
Miss Preen bursts in.
A penguin bit me.
Whiteside leans into his mic.
This is Whiteside speaking. On this eve of eves, when my own heart is overflowing with peace and kindness, I think it is most fitting to tell once again the story of that still and lustrous night.
The servants in the kitchen.
A fine Christmas morning. Mrs. Stanley up there crying in her room. Mr. Stanley off in Chicago someplace.
You think he'll catch him in time to stop the marriage?
I don't know, Sarah. Nobody knows where Mr. Richard went. Even Mr. Whiteside pretty near bit my head off this morning when I asked him he wanted breakfast. Miss Cutler didn't take any breakfast either. What's the matter with everybody? Good morning, Mr. Whiteside. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Whiteside.
Oh, Merry Christmas, John, Sarah. Has Miss Cutler come down yet?
No, sir, not yet.
Well, is she still in her room, do you know?
Yes, sir, she is. Shall I call her?
Oh, that's all, thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
Whiteside leaves.
You don't think it's all got something to do with Mr. Whiteside, do you, all these goings-on?
Mr. Whiteside? A lovely man like him?
No.
In the living room, Whiteside wheels himself past the staircase as Maggie comes down, wearing a striped wool suit and hat.
You can drop that guilty expression, Sherry.
It's not a guilty expression. Simply that I haven't had my breakfast yet. Now, Maggie, if you'd only listen to reason...
I'm taking the 1 o'clock train. I'm leaving.
You're doing nothing of the kind.
Here are your keys, your driver's license. The key to the safety vault is in your apartment in New York. I'm going in here now and clear things up.
Now, just a moment, Sarah Bernhardt. Where were you until 3 o'clock this morning? I sat up half the night in this station wagon worrying about you. You heard me calling to you when you came in. Why didn't you answer me?
Look, Sherry, it's all over and you've won. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, come. What are you trying to do, make me feel like a naughty, naughty boy? Honestly, Maggie, sometimes you could be very annoying.
Sherry, you're quite wonderful in a way. You're annoyed. I wish I had a laugh left in me. Shall I tell you something, Sherry? I think you're a selfish, petty egomaniac who would just as soon see his mother burning at a stake if that was the only way he had of lighting a cigarette. I think you'd sacrifice your best friend without a moment's hesitation if he interrupted the sacred ritual of your self-centered, paltry little life. I think you're incapable of any emotion higher up in your stomach. And I was the fool of the world forever trusting you.
Well, as long as I live, I'll never do anyone a good turn again. I shan't ask you to apologize, Maggie, but 6 months from now, you'll be thanking me instead of berating me.
Sherry, in 6 months' time, I'll be so far away from you that...
Bert enters with a broad smile.
Hello, hello. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. I'm a little high, but I can explain everything. Hiya, Maggie. Hiya, Mr. Whiteside. Shake hands with a successful playwright. Maggie, why did you run away last night? Where were you? Miss Sheldon thinks the play is wonderful. I read her the play and she thinks it's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful?
It's fine, Bert.
Isn't that wonderful, Mr. Whiteside?
Jefferson, I think you ought to go home, don't you?
What? No. Biggest day of my life. I know I'm a little drunk, but this is a big day. We've been sitting over in Billy's tavern all night long. Listen, Maggie, Miss Sheldon thinks the play needs a little fixing. Do it in 3 weeks. She's going to take me to the little place she's got in Lake Placid. We're going to work on the play together. Isn't that wonderful? Why don't you say something, Maggie?
Now, look here, Bert. I suggest you tell us all about this later. Right now, I think you ought to go home and...
Excuse me. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. I thought that perhaps...
Yes, Dr. Brandon, would you do me a favor, please? I think Mr. Jefferson would like some black coffee and a little breakfast. Would you take care of him, please?
Yes, of course.
Dr. Bradley, I want to buy breakfast for you. The biggest breakfast you ever had. I know what we'll do, Doctor.
Yes, come along, Jefferson.
Let's climb down a couple of chimneys. I got a friend that doesn't believe in Santa Claus. Let's climb down his chimney and scare the pants off of him.
They leave.
Now, look here, Maggie. I'm willing to forgive your tawdry outburst and talk about this calmly.
Oh, Sherry, I love him so terribly. Why did you do it? Why did you do it?
As her eyes well with tears, she flees into the library and slams the door. Frowning, Whiteside shifts his gaze, and Harriet comes downstairs in a black velvet skirt suit.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Whiteside.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Miss Stanley.
I shouldn't be seen talking to you. My brother is terribly angry. But I couldn't resist asking. Did you like my Christmas present?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Miss Stanley. I haven't opened it yet. Well, I haven't opened any of my presents yet.
Oh, dear. I was so anxious to... Why, it's right here, Mr. Whiteside. Won't you open it now?
I appreciated your thinking of me this way, Miss Stanley. It was very thoughtful of you.
A silver-framed photo.
Why, it's lovely. I'm very fond of these old photographs. Thank you very much.
I was 22 when that was taken. That was my favorite dress. But do you really like it?
I do indeed. When I get back to town, I shall send you a little gift.
Will you? Oh, thank you, Mr. Whiteside. I shall treasure it. Well, I shall be late for church.
She steps away, then turns back.
Goodbye.
She takes a few steps, then turns around again.
Goodbye.
She leaves. As Whiteside studies the photo of her, John passes through on his way upstairs.
Sarah's got a little surprise for you, Mr. Whiteside. She's just taking it out of the oven.
Oh, thank you, John. What is there about that woman?
Brow pinched, he drums his fingers restlessly.
Miss Breen! Miss Breen!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Miss Breen, where do you hide yourself all the time?
Mr. Whiteside, I can only be in one place at a time.
Well, that's very fortunate for this community. Now go and answer the door. John's gone upstairs. Go on!
Clad in a crisp white uniform, Miss Preen strides over to the door and opens it. Banjo stands outside. He doffs his hat and looks her up and down.
Ah, my beautiful one!
He scoops her into his arms.
You're gorgeous! You're beautiful!
Put me down!
I love
Put
you
down.
Madly!
Are you here?
Madly!
Put
Do you hear
down.
What I said?
Oh,
madly! Kiss me!
Don't you dare kiss me!
Kiss
Put me down or I'll scream!
Don't be afraid of the hot
side.
Spanish blood!
Mr. White!
I can feel a hot blood pounding through your varicose veins.
Banjo!
Whiteside, will you sign for this packet, please?
Put that woman down. That's my nurse, you mental delinquent.
Come to my room in a half hour and bring some rye bread.
Oh! Banjo dips her.
Really? Mr. Whiteside!
She runs into the library.
Whiteside, I'm here to spend Christmas with you. I think I may stay a month, or I may leave immediately.
He sits at the piano.
Things are so uncertain. Did you ever have the feeling that you wanted to go and still have the feeling that you wanted to stay? You knew it was right, wasn't wrong. Still, you knew you wouldn't be very long. It's tough to have the feeling that you wanted to go, still have the feeling that you wanted to stay. Start to go, change your mind. Start to go again, but change your mind again. It's tough to have the feeling that you wanted to go, still have the feeling that you wanted to stay. Don't bring me for so lassie-do. I go, I'm staying.
Will you shut up, you reform school fugitive?
Whiteside, I love you. I love you.
How did you get here anyway?
Santa Claus loaned me his reindeer. Whiteside, we finished shooting the picture yesterday, so what did I do? I borrowed the B-19 from the Army, and I'm on my way to Nova Scotia. Oh, I brought you a wonderful present. This sweater was once worn by Lana Turner. Try it on for size.
How long can you stay?
Just long enough to take a bath.
He throws his hat in the tree.
I'm on my way to Nova Scotia. Where's Maggie?
Nova Scotia? What are you going to Nova Scotia for?
I'm sick of Hollywood and there's a dame in New York I don't want to see. So I figured I'd go to Nova Scotia and get some smoked salmon. Now where the devil's Maggie? I want to see her. What's the matter with you? Where is she? Bum bums.
Banjo, I'm glad you're here. I'm very annoyed at Maggie, very.
Why? What's the matter?
While Banjo chomps on a bonbon, Whiteside stands up and paces.
Say, what is this? I thought you couldn't walk.
Oh, I've been all right for weeks. That isn't the point. I'm furious at Maggie. She's turned on me like a viper. You know how fond I am of her. Well, after all these years, she's repaying my affections by behaving like a fishwife.
What are you talking about?
I don't believe for a moment that she was really in love with him.
In love with who? I just got here. Remember?
I'm trying to tell you, you Hollywood nitwit, a young newspaper man here in town.
So Maggie finally fell. Well, what do you know? Say, what kind of a guy is he?
Oh, shut up and listen, will you?
Well, go on, what happened?
Well, Lorraine Sheldon happened to come out here and visit me.
The umph girl here? Well,
now listen. This young fellow had written a play. Well, you can guess the rest. He's going away with Lorraine this afternoon to rewrite. So there you are. Maggie's in there now, crying her eyes out.
Gee. What do you mean Lorraine Sheldon happened to come here? I smell a rat, Sherry. A rat with a beard.
Well, all right, but I did it for Maggie, because I thought it was the right thing for her.
Sure, you haven't thought of yourself in years. Gee, poor kid. Can I go in and talk to her?
Oh, leave her alone.
Say, where does this guy live? This guy she likes. Can we get a hold of him?
Now, wait a minute, Banjo. We don't want any phony warrants. Are you pretending to be J. Edgar Hoover? I've been all through that with you before. I got Lorraine out here, and I've got to get her away.
It's gotta be good, Sherry. Lorraine's no dope. Now, there must be something that would get her out of here like a bat out of... Say, I think I got it. That Englishman she's so crazy about. What's his name again? Lord Bottomley. That's it, Bottomley.
No, Banjo, no.
Wait a minute, you don't catch on. We sent Lorraine a telegram from this bird.
I catch on, Banjo. Lorraine caught on, too. It's been tried.
Oh, I told you Lorraine was no dope.
Well, you've got a tough proposition on your hands.
Yes, just a little time. Lorraine's taking you away with us this afternoon. There must be some way out of this. The trouble is I've done this job too well.
Stuck, huh?
In the words of one of our greatest lyric poets, you said it.
Listen, I'm hungry. Don't worry, we'll think of something, Sherry. We'll get Lorraine out of here if I gotta do it a piece at a time.
Get out of my chair. Go on.
Mr. Whiteside. Oh, excuse me.
Come right in, sir. That's quite all right.
She hides a pastry behind her back.
I've got something for you.
You have?
Banjo eats it.
But, Mr. Whiteside, it was for you.
Oh, never mind, Sarah. He's quite mad.
Come, Petrushka. We will dance.
But, Mr. Whiteside...
We will dance in the snow while old St. Petersburg is aflame with jealousy.
And, just give him some breakfast, Sarah. He's harmless.
Miss Preen, wearing a hat and overcoat, carries her suitcase into the living room.
Just what does this mean?
It means, Mr. Whiteside, that I am leaving. My address is on the desk inside. You can send me a check.
You realize, Miss Preen, this is completely unprofessional.
I do, indeed. I am not only walking out on this case, Mr. Whiteside. I am leaving the nursing profession. I became a nurse because all my life, ever since I was a little girl, I was filled with the idea of serving a suffering humanity. After 1 month with you, Mr. Whiteside, I am going to work in a munitions factory. From now on, anything that I can do to help exterminate the human race will fill me with the greatest of pleasure. Mr. Whiteside, if Florence Nightingale had ever nursed you, she would have married Jack the Ripper instead of founding the Red Cross. Good day.
She stalks out. Whiteside's smile fades as he spots Mrs. Stanley rushing downstairs.
June, my baby. Mr. Stanley's here with June. He's brought June back. Thank goodness, oh, darling. You're not married,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not. Oh. Don't get hysterical.
Well, if it had been anybody but that awful boy. Ernest, thank goodness you stopped it. However did you do it?
Never mind that, Daisy. Just take June upstairs. I have something to say to Mr. Whiteside.
What about Richard? Is there any news?
It's all right, Daisy. All under control. Just take June upstairs.
Father, don't you think we've had enough melodrama? I don't have to be taken upstairs. I'll go upstairs. Merry Christmas, Mr. Whiteside.
Merry Christmas, Jenny.
Lock me in my room. Darling, you feel much better after you've had a hot bath. Have you had anything to eat?
I am pleased to inform you, sir, that your plans for my daughter seem to have gone a trifle awry. She is not, nor will she ever be, married to that labor agitator that you so kindly picked out for her. As for my son, he has been apprehended in Toledo and will be brought home within the hour. Not having your gift for invective, sir, I cannot tell you what I think of your obnoxious interference in my affairs. But I have arranged that you will interfere no longer. Mr. Whiteside, these gentlemen are deputy sheriffs. They have a warrant by which I will be enabled to put you out of this house. And I need hardly add that it will be the greatest moment of my life. Mr. Whiteside, I am giving you 15 minutes in which to pack up and get out. If you have not gone in 15 minutes, these gentlemen will forcibly eject you. Thank you, gentlemen. Will you wait outside, please? 15 minutes, Mr. Whiteside, and that means bag, baggage, wheelchair, penguins, and octopus. I am now going upstairs to smash our radio so that not even accidentally will I ever hear your voice again.
Sure you don't want my autograph, old fellow?
15 minutes, Mr. Whiteside.
Banjo.
Well, Whiteside, I didn't get an idea, but the food was wonderful. Any news from the front?
Yes, the enemy is at my rear and nibbling.
Where did you say Maggie was, in there?
Oh, it's no use, Banjo. She's taking the 1 o'clock train out.
No kidding. You didn't tell me that. You mean she's quitting you after all these years? She's really leaving?
She is.
That means you only got till 1 o'clock to do something.
No, dear. I have 15 minutes, 14 minutes, in which to pull out of my hat the most gigantic rabbits you've ever seen.
What do you mean, 14 minutes?
In exactly 14 minutes, baby's rosy little body is being tossed into the snow. My host has sworn out a warrant. I am being kicked out.
What? I never heard of such a thing. What do you want to do a thing like that for?
Well, never mind, never mind. The point is, I've only got 14 minutes to get Lorraine out of here. Banjo, dear, the master's growing a little desperate.
Say, if I knew where she was, I could get a car and run her over. It wouldn't hurt her much.
Oh, Banjo, please, go in and talk to Maggie for a minute. She's in there. I've got to think.
Whiteside drags on a cigarette, and Banjo heads into the library, where Maggie types.
Pardon me, miss. Is this the YMCA?
Oh, Banjo.
She runs into his arms.
Oh, come on now. I've heard the whole story, and everything is going to be all right.
Banjo.
Don't worry. Your Uncle Banjo will pull a few strings. Say, that wasn't a bad pun, was it?
No.
You're going to hear that in my next picture.
Now, a man escorts Richard into the living room.
Is this your father?
No, you idiot. Hello, Mr. Whiteside. I didn't get very far. Any suggestions?
I'm very sorry, Richard. Very sorry indeed. I wish I were in a position.
Well, you're not in a position. Thank you very much, officer. Here's a little something for your trouble.
Thank you, sir. Good day.
Will you go upstairs, Richard?
Frowning, Richard leaves. With a Band-Aid taped to his forehead, Mr. Stanley follows his son upstairs.
10 minutes, Mr. Whiteside.
I brought you some orange juice, Mr. Whiteside. Feeling any better?
Oh, superb. Is there any cyanide in this orange juice, John? Open the door, John. It's probably some mustard gas from an old friend.
Yes, sir. Say, that crazy fellow made a great hit with Sarah. He wants to give her a screen test.
He opens the door for Lorraine.
Good morning, John. Is Mr. Whiteside up yet?
Yes, Miss Sheldon. He's right in there.
Merry Christmas, darling. Merry Christmas. I've come to have Christmas breakfast with you, my dear. May I?
Of course, my sprite. John, a breakfast tray for Miss Sheldon.
Yes, sir.
Better make it 1 minute egg.
Yes, sir.
Darling, I was simply swept off my feet by the play. It's fantastically good. Sherry is the kind of part that comes along once in 10 years. Oh, I'm so grateful to you, darling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, dear. What time are you leaving, you and Jefferson?
Oh, I don't know. It's 4 o'clock, I think. You know, Sherry, apart from everything else, Bert is really a very attractive man. It'll make it rather a pleasure squaring accounts with little Miss Vitriol. In fact, everything has worked out beautifully. Sherry Lamb, I want to give you the most beautiful Christmas present you ever had in your life. Now, what do you want? Anything. I'm so deliriously happy that... That sounds like Banjo. Is he here?
He is, my dear. Just the family circle gathering for Christmas. My, how time flies when you're having fun.
Banjo returns.
What ho and all that sort of thing? If it isn't Lady Bottomley. My dear, you look ripping. Positively ripping.
Very funny. It's too bad, Banjo, that your pictures aren't as funny as you seem to think you are.
You got me there, Lorraine. You still got ants in your glance.
He fakes a bottom slap.
Anything in the wind, Whiteside?
Not a glimmer.
What time is the boat sail?
10 minutes.
What boat is this?
The good ship behind the eight ball.
Maggie comes out of the library.
I have everything except the New Year's Eve broadcast. Isn't there a schedule on that?
I think it's on that table there someplace.
Thank you. New Year's Eve? Oh, Bert and I will hear it from Lake Placid. You've been to my place up there, haven't you, Sherry? Lovely, isn't it? Away from everything. Just snow and clear, cold nights. Oh, that must be Bert now. I told him to meet me here.
She lights a cigarette.
You know, I'm rather looking forward to Lake Placid. Bert's the kind of man who'll do all winter sports beautifully.
Will he have time? With all the rewriting and...
Delivery men arrive with an Egyptian mummy case.
All right, come ahead, right in here. Careful now.
Yeah, this thing's valuable.
This old dame is 2,000 years old and she's in better shape than I am.
For you, Mr. Whiteside. Careful now.
They stand it in the living room.
Great Aunt Mehitable. If there was one thing I needed at this moment, it was an Egyptian mummy.
Merry Christmas from the Khedive of Egypt. What did you send him? Grant's tomb?
5 minutes, Mr. Whiteside. Including that.
Who's that man?
He announces the time every few minutes. I pay him a small sum.
Well, what on earth for, Sherry?
I lost my watch!
The doctor enters with his manuscript.
Oh, Mr. Whiteside, are you busy?
Oh.
Well, I'll wait in the library. Excuse me.
He tips his hat to the mummy case as he passes.
Is that the plumber again, Sherry?
Oh.
Oh, dear, I wonder where Bert is. Darling, you're not very Christmassy. You're usually bubbling over on Christmas morning.
She eyes the carved coffin.
Who sent you the sherry? The Khedive of Egypt? You know, I think it's rather beautiful. I must go to Egypt sometime. I really must. I know I'd love it. You know, the first time I went to Pompeii, I cried all night. All those people. All those lives. Where are they now?
Banjo shrugs.
Here was a woman like myself. A woman who'd once lived and loved. Full of the same passions, fears, jealousies, hates. What remains of it now? Just this. Nothing more.
She swings the door open, revealing an empty interior, slightly taller than she is. As she stands inside and folds her arms over her chest, Whiteside and Banjo brighten.
A span of 4,000 years, a mere atom in the eternity of time. And here am I, another woman living out her life. I want to cry.
As Banjo sneaks up to close the door, she steps out.
Oh, I mustn't talk like this today. It's Christmas, it's Christmas.
Lorraine, dear, have you ever played St. Joan?
Why, no, I haven't, Sherry. Why do you ask that?
There was something about your expression as you stood in that case. There was an absolute halo about you.
Oh, Sherry, how sweet.
It transcended any mortal expression I've ever seen. Step into it again, dear.
Now, Sherry, you're joshing me.
Oh, my dear, I don't make light of these things. I was deeply moved. There was a strange beauty about you, Lorraine, pure Da Vinci. Please do it again, dear.
Well, I don't know exactly what I did, but I'll try.
Drawing a calming breath, she turns her wide, sparkling eyes to the ceiling, folds her arms over her chest, and backs into the mummy case.
Oh, no, Sherry, I'll hear
too soon. Oh, no, no. Lorraine, dear, in that single instance, you approached the epitome of your art, and you should not be ashamed of it. You asked me a little while ago what I wanted for a Christmas present. All that I want, Lorraine, is the memory of you in that mummy case.
Well, Sherry, I'm all choked up.
She releases a long breath, blinks slowly in concentration, then crosses her arms and steps toward the coffin. Whiteside and Banjo exchange a crafty smirk. As she steps inside with glistening eyes, Banjo creeps behind the open door.
Dust thou art, and dust to dust.
Banjo slams it closed.
Eureka!
There's service for you.
Yeah, would she be all right in there?
Sure, she can breathe easy. I'll let her out as soon as we get on a plane. Cute kid. Say, how do we get this out of here?
Well, now, one thing at a time, that's the next step.
Think fast, Mr. Moto. Think fast.
Look out. Go.
Whiteside hops back into his chair as Maggie comes out of the library.
This is everything. I'm leaving 3 carbons.
Christmas card from the head guy of Egypt.
Is there anything I can do for you here? What's in this basket?
No, nothing at all, thank you. Oh, Eleanor Roosevelt, did you call her in Atlanta?
Yes, but she already left for Washington, but I left a message at the White House for her to call you here. Do you want these letters filed?
No, throw everything away, dear.
Do you want this picture?
No. Oh, yes, wait, I want the picture. Give me the picture.
I've done everything. We'll put your broadcast in order. Do you want me to do that?
Yes, do that right away, will you, Maggie? It's very important. Do it right away, will you, dear?
I'll see you before I go, Banjo.
She returns to the library, and Whiteside shows Banjo Harriet's picture.
I got it! I knew I'd seen this face before. I knew it. Now I know how to get this out of here.
What face? How? The time is up, Mr. Whiteside. 15 minutes. And I'm glad to see you on your feet. It'll save me having you thrown out.
But just one slight favor before you leave. I would like you to summon those 2 officers and ask them to help this gentleman down to the airport with this mummy case. Would you be good enough to do that, Mr. Stanley?
I will do nothing of the kind.
Oh, I think you will, Mr. Stanley. Or shall I inform my radio audience of my next broadcast of your little secret, that your sister, Harriet Stanley, is none other than the famous Harriet Sedley, who murdered her mother and father with an axe 25 years ago in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Oh, come, Mr. Stanley, it's a very small favor. Would you rather have the good folk of Massadia repeating at your very doorstep that once popular little jingle, Harriet Sedley took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. And when the job was nicely done, she gave her father 41. Oh, remember, Mr. Stanley, I too am giving up something. It would make a whale of a broadcast.
Mr. Whiteside, you are a devil.
I often think so myself, old fellow.
She gave her mother 40 whacks. How the Dodgers could have used her.
Come right in, officers. Mr. Stanley would like to have you help this gentleman down at the airport with this mummy case. He's sending it to a friend in Nova Scotia.
Collect.
Right, Mr. Stanley?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, gentlemen. And handle that very carefully, please. Banjo, my lad, you're wonderful. I may write a book about you.
Don't bother. I can't read. Goodbye, Maggie. Love conquers all. Here's a Christmas present for you.
Lorraine's muff.
Take it easy. Don't drop that case, boys. It contains a jewel, slightly tarnished. Whiteside, I'll load it up with smoked salmon and ship it back to you. Did you ever have the feeling that you wanted to go? Still have the feeling that you wanted to stay? You know what?
Banjo follows the mummy case out.
Sherry. Sherry, was that...
It was indeed. The field is clear and you have my blessing.
Oh, you old reprobate.
Just send me a necktie sometime. Maggie, my hat and coat, please. I'm leaving for New York.
What?
Don't argue, rat girl. Do as you are told.
Yes, Mr. Whiteside.
She hugs him.
Sarah, John!
In the front hall, Maggie drop kicks Elaine's muff, then grabs Whiteside's coat as Bert enters.
Maggie, I want to apologize.
Oh, don't give it a thought, Bert. There's been a slight change in plans. La Sheldon has departed for parts unknown, and I'm going to see that Sherry gives your play to Cornell.
She kisses him.
Maggie, how would you two like to come to New York and work for me?
This is an outrage!
We love it.
Ah, thank you, Maggie, my darling.
Mr. Whiteside, my cook and my butler, they've been with me for 10 years.
I am commuting their sentence. If you and your husband ever come to New York, Mrs. Stanley, you can come to my place for dinner if I'm not in town.
Oh, well, Mr. Whiteside, are you very busy?
Oh, yes, Doctor, very busy. But if you ever come to New York, Doctor, try and find me. Goodbye, my lamb. I love you very much.
Sherry, you're wonderful.
Nonsense. Goodbye, Jefferson. You'll never know the trouble you caused.
Goodbye, Mr. Whiteside.
Goodbye, Mr. Stanley. I would like to hear in the near future that your daughter had married her young man and that your son had been permitted to follow his own bent. Or else.
Well, what about the penguins, the octopus, the baby seal, and the rest of the menagerie?
They're all yours, Mr. Stanley.
Whiteside puts on his hat and swings his cane.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Maggie, what is all this? Where's he going? I didn't even know he could walk.
It's all right, Bert. You're too young to know.
Mrs. Stanley answers the phone.
Hello? Mrs. Roosevelt? Eleanor Roosevelt? Oh, just a moment, please. Mr. Whiteside? Oh, Mrs. Roosevelt, I want you to know my husband didn't vote for your husband, but I did. Oh, you're welcome, I'm sure. And I'd love to vote for your husband again sometime. Oh, Mrs. Roosevelt.
Outside, Whiteside pauses on the front steps to gaze up at the sky. In the window of a plane, Banjo smiles and flashes an OK sign. Below him, Whiteside waves, then starts down the stairs.
Oh, Mr. Whiteside! Mrs. Roosevelt's on the phone!
What? Eleanor!
He slips and falls on the ice.
Oh, I've done it again! All right!
What is it, Maggie?
What's the matter?
Perhaps he fell again.
Mr. Stanley covers his face. Outside, Whiteside lies on the sidewalk.
Let's breathe! I want to breathe!
John and Bert carry him inside.
Oh, Maggie! Oh, Maggie!
What's the matter?
Is anything wrong now?
Breathe!
Mr. White, I want to breathe back!
What happened?
Stanley, I am suing you for $350,000. Oh, where's the doctor? Oh, here I am!
They carry him into the penguin-filled library. In the living room, Mr. Stanley bangs his head against the fireplace mantel. His wife has fainted and the phone is off the hook.
Hello? Hello, hello. Oh, dear, something must have happened to Sherry. Operator, operator.
Fade to black. Words appear. The End, a Warner Brothers First National Picture. Credits appear. The players, Betty Davis as Maggie Cutler, Anne Sheridan as Lorraine Sheldon, Monty Woolley as Sheridan Whiteside, Richard Travis as Bert Jefferson, Jimmy Durante as Banjo, Billy Burke as Mrs. Ernest Stanley, Reginald Gardner as Beverly Carlton, Elizabeth Frazier as June Stanley, Grant Mitchell as Mr. Ernest Stanley, George Barbier as Dr. Bradley, Mary Wicks as Miss Preen, Russell Arms as Richard Stanley, Ruth Vivian as Harriet, and others.